Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key, or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away, huh. But I feel alright, I feel alright tonight. Feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I'll bring you precious contraband and ancient tales from distant lands.
All right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. Every weekday morning. We're here 1 to 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in now. We'll play them later. That's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, Ian Schur is going to join us. He's an executive editor at CNET. And he is here. He talks with us, you know, usually about once a month to talk about tech-related stories. And there's a lot of stuff to talk about this morning, especially Apple-related and Facebook-related, which is usually two of the big topics that we talk about all the time in the world of tech. So that's coming up. Ian's going to join us in a little bit. Chicago Magazine picked the top 40 movies filmed in Chicago. So we're going to talk about movies that that were filmed here in Chicago. We have some useless information that we're going to be talking about how it actually is kind of useful. It's May Day, so we'll talk a little bit about that and the history of May Day and all that cool stuff. And, yeah, and it's also time we're going to play Know Your Onion, which is a little game that Tom came up with. For those people who know, The Onion is a satirical fake newspaper. Where they write funny fake news stories. And what we're going to do is read you a couple of headlines, and you have to guess whether it's a real headline, a real news story, a real headline, or an Onion headline, which would be, you know, a fake news story. And it gets a little weird because some of the real news stories are very close to being, they feel fake and weird and funny. So Know Your Onion. So what you'll do is we'll get you we'll pick a numbered caller to get in here on the air, and then Tom will read some headlines to you, and you will have to guess whether it is real or onion. So you'll say real or onion. If you think the headline is real, you'll say real. If you think it's fake and it's just a joke, then you say onion, because that's where we get those we get some of the headlines from, The Onion. Which is a hilarious piece of satire. If you have never checked it out, it's been doing a fake newspaper reporting for many, many, many years. Great satire, really, really funny stuff. And sometimes the headlines seem a little bit more real than the actual real headlines. So we'll do that. Know Your Onion. That's coming up later on. So again, 312-981-7200 for talk and text and your Wildcard Wednesday requests. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected with us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Like us now. It's updated and interactive during the show. So get in there now, facebook.com/Nick D Show. And also check out our podcasts. We have a lot of people listening to our podcast, and we're very happy, and we thank you for that. And you can download the podcast and subscribe right now. You can go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast and subscribe. It's free. Every single second of every single show is podcast. And you can subscribe. It's free. Gets automatically sent to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. So that's coming up as well. Let me talk to Tom Hush and say hello to my producer. Tom, how are you?
Doing great, Nick. How are you?
All right. Cubs won a nail biter.
Yeah, watching the end of that.
Yeah, we did. We watched it here in the studio. those late games. But yeah, no, that was it was a nail biter. I'll tell you that much. But it was a good game. They ended up winning, so that's all that matters. So how you been? You good?
Yeah, feeling good.
You ready for Know Your Onion?
Very ready for Know Your Onion. Very happy for the beginning of a new month.
Oh yes, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
There it is.
Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. It's May 1st. Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
Yeah, Dino wanted me to remind you.
Ah, okay.
He texted, he said, tell him not to forget.
I know. I'm not going to forget. There it is. So, yeah, it is May 1st. It's raining. Boy, it was really pouring when I came in.
Oh, I'm soaked.
It was ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
And it's going to rain all the way through Thursday, you know? Jeez. Anyway, the weather. Let's go to the newsroom. It's Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
The Flowers loving it, though.
Oh, yeah. Good for them.
Yeah, I took a cab. It was dry. I looked out the window like maybe 9:45-ish, and it was dry. And so I didn't even bring the umbrella. I get down to the lobby, and it's pouring.
Yeah.
15 minutes later, so
it was,
I took a cab.
When we were coming in, it was raining real hard. It was coming down real, real hard.
Yeah.
Visibility was terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm looking out the window right now. There's a lot. It's raining right now, and and there's wetness all over the place, and it's you know, dreary, and you can barely see outside here onto Columbus.
I know.
So, yeah. Anyway, but it's so. How you doing, Vic?
Yeah, I'm watching the beginning of the game because I missed the beginning of the Cubs game. I watched the end.
Yeah.
But we got a leadoff home run. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it was a very exciting. It was back and forth. It was a very exciting
game. Yeah.
And that ninth inning was ridiculous.
It was
needlessly suspenseful.
Yeah, the leads kept switching. It was good. It's a good game.
6-5 going into the ninth, and Cisek didn't have, you know, he bobbled a routine ground ball up the middle. Then he threw a wild pitch, so that guy ended up on second. Walked the next guy, first and second, nobody out, in the bottom of the ninth. They're only up 6-5. Double play. They pull a double play because Baez has a rifle for an arm. And then he struck out the last batter. So it was struck out looking, too, which is always a lot. That's always been the called third strike is one of my favorite things in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they ended up, well, they did win. So there you go.
Three straight.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, listen, we're going to break here. Those are the guys we're working with all morning. We're here till 5 a.m. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we're going to break. When we come back, Ian Schur is going to join us from CNET to talk tech. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We are here until 5 a.m. It is Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now, Wildcard Wednesday. It's any song, any artist, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. A little bit later on, we're going to be talking about the best Chicago movies coming up. And then we have 21 pieces of useless advice that actually turned out to be useful. And it's May Day, and oh, by the way, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. It's May 1st, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. We've got a whole bunch of stuff that we're going to be talking about. But right now, we want to welcome to the show Ian Schur, who is the executive editor at CNET News, and he covers the world of PC industry and all that kind of cool stuff, and CNET covers all that great stuff, and we have a lot of technology stuff to talk about, and so we want to bring Ian back to the show. We want to welcome Ian to the show. Ian, welcome back, man.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you, man?
I am doing all right. It has been a long week already, and I'm only on Tuesdays. But we're getting there.
Yeah. Specifically tell me why it's been a long week. We can talk about that first.
Oh, my gosh. So, I mean, you take between Apple and their earnings and how kind of Apple seems to be trying to shift its business model very quickly. You've got Facebook with all their efforts to change their privacy and convince us that they are basically a new company and that they will respect our privacy all of a sudden. And there's all these other things with virtual reality companies. Suddenly, there's a new virtual reality headset from this company called Valve, which is a game maker. You've got another virtual reality headset from Facebook. It's just been this massive stuff going on.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's start with Apple. Now, the last time we had John was right after their big the big announcement with all the movie stars and and all the services and all that stuff. They are betting on that, and they're betting on their services, or the future of the services. Correct.
Yes. I mean, that really is going to be what makes up the difference for the slowing iPhone sales that continue to be a problem for them.
Okay, so what are they focusing on now?
Yeah, so we got their earnings report on Tuesday, and for example, iPhone revenue fell 17% year over year, which is not a small percent at all. And one of the things that really made the difference for Apple and actually ended up kind of saving them here were their services, stuff like iCloud, Apple Music, the App Store. And also the wearables, right? Stuff like the Apple Watch. So it's really interesting to see that already Apple is going through all of these changes rather dramatically. And they say that in the end, it's going to be fine. But this in-between period where we've had Apple News Plus launch back a month ago, right back in March, and their new Apple TV Plus, which will compete with Netflix and Disney and all these people, it's not out yet. Neither is Apple Arcade, their gaming service. Both of those are coming later this year. So it's going to be interesting to see how much Apple changes. And remember, they're still one that's going to sell us iPhones, but it's not going to be the big thing about them all the time anymore.
Mm. So it's the iPhones have fallen a little bit on hard times. Is that what's happening?
Well, I would love to have Apple's problems. It's not like they're falling on hard times.
Right.
Really, what it is that it's not growing anymore, right? In this case, it actually dropped. But there's still the sales of the iPhones, $31 billion for the quarter. That is larger than most companies on the planet.
Sure.
Right? So some people look at this and they say doom and gloom, right? This is a really bad sign for Apple and the future may not be good. A lot of other people would say, well, wait a minute. They're still a huge company. They've got opportunity to change. They obviously see that they need to change how they do business to succeed and to continue going on. And they're doing those efforts right now. So maybe it'll all turn out okay. And, everyone who bets against Apple typically ends up going poorly, so I'm not going to bet against them.
The services that they are that they are planning and that are offering, have they announced, because, one of the major things that people complained about for the presentation the last time we talked was that, they announced all these things but didn't have a price for many of them or subscription
Correct.
Rate or any of that stuff. Have they decided on that? Have they updated that at all?
I wish. No, we still don't have any of those numbers. I will bet you right now that I think this is a pretty safe bet. I don't think we're going to get the pricing until September.
Okay.
And the reason is that's the big iPhone time, right? So, it would make sense that they would wait until September when they have this big launch, right? Maybe they bring out Oprah again and we'll get to find out how much money they want from us. It's really interesting, though, in the time between Apple's announcement and now, we've learned what Disney wants to charge for Disney Plus. And that service, which, by the way, you have to remember, the company has said they're betting their company on this. This is no minor thing. Their streaming service is the future of Disney. And one of the things they said is that it's going to cost you $7 a month. That is vastly cheaper than Netflix.
Yeah.
And I think it's also cheaper than what some people thought Apple's TV Plus might be. So I'm curious to, I'd love to be a fly on the wall where they're trying to figure out what the price is.
Yeah.
There's actually rumors out there that if you subscribe to several of Apple's services, like let's say you buy storage from iCloud and you get Apple Music, that you might get Apple TV Plus for a cheaper rate or maybe for free. So there's a lot of rumors about how they're going to maybe play with this to get you interested and, kind of get you enticed into paying the money. I'm really curious to see how it plays out.
Yeah, $7, that's a fantastic rate.
A lot of people said, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you're a parent and, you are in the middle of the Disney run-a-thon of every movie that they've ever had.
Yeah.
You that price looks really good.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it's funny. I have to subscribe to Disney Plus. One, I like the price rate at $7. And two, my favorite Marvel character is Loki. And so
and he has a show coming
up. Exactly. So now I'm required to subscribe.
There you go.
Yeah. So how do you think that the Apple is going to compete? I mean, obviously, we still don't have the price range and stuff like that, but people are still excited about this streaming service, correct?
Well, I think that there's a lot of interest in it, right? I mean, it's hard to get excited about something you don't know how much you're going to pay for.
Right, that's true.
So, I think a lot of people are holding off and trying to be like, okay, where's this going? I mean, look, they've got Oprah. That's a huge get. They've got, Steven Spielberg involved. They've got all these big names, right? So it's not like they're not going out with the biggest guns they can get.
The question
is, what is this going to ultimately turn into? And you have to remember, Netflix has a lot of shows that go nowhere, right? So, for every, Stranger Things, there's five or so shows you never heard of.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something you have to remember as well, is that, Apple doesn't have the benefit of Netflix having so much money that they've invested. Now, Apple does have a ton of money under its mattress. It could continue to invest forever. But if this is about the future of Apple, right, and what's going to make up the difference from the iPhone, kind of leveling off, then they need to prove themselves, right?
Yeah.
And they have to do it pretty quickly.
And the iPhone leveling off, obviously, that happens in business, just on a regular basis with every big corporation.
To be honest, I mean, the iPhone was like an anomaly in the world, right? Not only is it one of the most successful consumer products ever made, but the whole smartphone revolution was something that, it was a cycle that had never been seen before, right? The amount of money that went into the smartphone world and the amount of profits Apple was able to suck up out of it were rather stunning. And I don't think we're ever going to see a product like that again, or at least not for a very long time. And I haven't seen anything like it, and
yeah.
I've never heard of anything like it. Even when the PC industry went big, it didn't happen like that. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Now, talk a little bit about the success of the wearables that Apple has put out. Those things, those are very. How many of them do they have?
Well, that's the other thing. They don't tell us how many they sold. But right, isn't it great, these non-transparent Apple stories? But one of the things that we have learned is that people who study the industry and follow shipment numbers and all that, they say that the Apple Watch is one of the most successful watches out there. And in fact, Apple itself has trumpeted during their events how they're doing better than certain brands that you already know. So they're not doing poorly, right? The thing is that, when people look at the Apple Watch, and this is something that a lot of critics of the press will point out, the Apple press, is that they'll say, the Apple Watch isn't huge like the iPhone, but it's still doing massively better than almost any other watchmaker out there.
Yeah.
And it's something to remember is that, not successful, quote unquote, in Apple world is still like ginormous numbers. And it's hard to remember to keep kind of an eye on that.
Yeah.
But they are doing well, right? And we know that. Also, for example, the AirPods, which, they just released a new version of a couple of months ago, those devices actually have been one of the most successful wireless buds in the world. And you probably have noticed this. It's kind of like when the iPod buds first came out, right, and they saw the people on the bus with the white buds. You're like,
got
an iPod.
Yeah, yeah.
The same thing is starting to happen now with the AirPods. So it's one of those interesting things where Apple's really been able to catch fire on this thing that, wireless headphones have been around forever.
Yeah.
But for some reason, Apple really got it right, at least with the people who like iPhones,
to
sell them.
It's interesting how Apple can reinvent the wheel. Because they do it all the time. Like, wireless AirBuds. Okay, that's not new. And now suddenly people are wearing watches again? I mean...
yeah. When I had not worn a watch for a decade before I got it. So definitely, you're right. But this is the story of Apple generally, as you pointed out. They reinvent the wheel in a way. But also, they tend to sit back and watch the rest of the industry try to figure itself out, right?
Yeah.
And then they come in and they take everything that they've learned from everyone screwing up, and then they kind of apply their Apple magic to it, and it works, right? It doesn't work all the time, by the way. There are flops that we've written about on CNET.
Sure.
But... generally speaking, they've had a really good time of this. Now, that's not a guarantee it's going to go a little further, right? One of the things I keep coming back to with the services thing, this is an entirely new type of business for them. And Netflix, for example, they have the benefit of all of this data that they've collected about us. They actually know so much about what I like to watch they probably know more than me about my taste than I do. And one of the interesting things I heard a long time ago about Netflix was that Stranger Things, the reason it's such a successful show, is that it intersects with so many different interests that there was, that the subscribers have.
There's people
who like nostalgia and would watch 16 Candles again. There are people who like sci-fi, right? They want to watch The Twilight Zone. There are people who like, you know, all of these types of different things, right? And they kind of intersect together, and that worked really well for that show.
Right, right.
But that data that Netflix had, that they were able to make the decision to fund that show on, Apple doesn't have that data.
Yeah.
So how they're going to be able to succeed in this is going to be really fascinating.
Okay. All right, Ian, hang on, okay?
Yeah.
All right, Ian Schur is with us. We're going to take a break for the news, and when we come back, we've got more tech talk to talk about. He writes for CNET News, and we'll get back with this conversation after the news. Which is coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're here till 5 a.m. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number for Talk and Text. And for your Wild Card Wednesday requests, they'll be coming up a little bit later on. That's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. We're going to be talking about great Chicago movies, pieces of useless advice that actually turned out to be useful. It's May Day. We'll get to that, too. Lots of stuff coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Joining us right now, though, is Ian Schur, who is an executive editor. He writes for CNET News. He writes about Microsoft games and VR. He manages coverage of internet giants, cybersecurity, all that great stuff. And we're talking tech stuff with Ian. Let's bring Ian back in. Ian, welcome back.
Hi.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Facebook. That's another. You know, Facebook seems to be, and Zuckerberg seems to be in the news, pretty regularly. Tell us about what's going on with that now.
I think pretty regularly is an understatement.
Yeah.
So they had this big event here in San Jose, which is about an hour south of San Francisco when there's good traffic. And one of the things that they talked about during this event was really kind of playing out how they're going to push much further into being respectful of our privacy.
Yeah.
And reworking Facebook to be much more about our communication with small groups and with our friends and family than broadcasting our views to the world and possibly losing our jobs over it and stuff like that. And I think it's really fascinating. You know, people, when they first heard about it, they're like, this doesn't sound right. You know, Facebook has never respected our privacy, something that Mark Zuckerberg even kind of acknowledged on the stage today.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's something that's going to be interesting to see how this company changes, because what they're laying out is a dramatic remake of who they are. And I'm not saying they can't do it, but it would be really fascinating to watch how they're going to do it.
And they also, you know, the privacy has been an issue. A massive issue for Facebook for a long time.
And they're
going to have to, I mean, they're, you know, obviously Zuckerberg is confronting that right now, and they have to do something to change that. But they're also going to simplify or change the look of Facebook, like, kind of dramatically. Is that correct?
Yeah. So one of the things, you know, it's almost like the symbolism is just perfect, right? They're slapping a new coat of paint on everything.
Yeah.
And what they're going to do is that it's going to be a very minimalist design. There's actually some photos we have on CNET that you can see. But it looks much more like a modern app that you would download for your phone, right? Like it has a lot of empty space, and it makes the old Facebook look very kind of stale and old and cluttered. And I think that this is part of their way of saying, look, you know, we get it. We understand we need to change. And we're willing to do everything. We're willing to toss out our old logo that we've had for 15 years and change for everything to make it better. And, whether or not the symbolism gets through, I don't know. But I think there's as much of a public relations effort going on here as there is an actual business effort.
And they're also expanding a lot of other things, like there's a dating service that they're expanding as well, making some changes there. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so the dating thing is actually kind of funny. So, you know, they announced it last year, and everyone was kind of, what?
Yeah.
And I think part of it that was really interesting is, you know, you remember in the beginning, Facebook had that relationship status feature, right?
Yeah.
And like, it was something that, you know, in college, you watched that pretty closely. And, you know, the thing that now what they said is, look, we have all this data on you. If all of your friends connected, why not make it so that you can connect up with your friends of friends of friends and figure out if there's a good match there? And, you know, they've been testing it in other markets. Notably, they have not tested it in the United States broadly. And I think part of the reason, honestly, is they want to get it right. Like, you have to imagine they're in the middle of so many scandals that are, like, intertwining and annoying everybody all the time. The last thing they need is a dating scandal.
Yeah.
So they're doing all this stuff away from the United States. They're going to bring it to us by the end of the year. So those of you who can't wait to try it out because Tinder hasn't been working for you, it's coming. But it's, you know, one of the other things they're doing, which I think is kind of cute, is that you can name a quote unquote secret crush. And they never know unless they name you their secret crush. And then, ta-da, you get an alert that you both are a match. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. In a way, to me, it fulfills what the original relationship status thing was supposed to be anyway. And I don't know. Maybe Facebook will become the next big dating thing and no one will pay for Match anymore. But it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see to see how that works out. I always enjoyed seeing It's Complicated as the status.
I mean, that's like radioactive, man. When it says it's complicated, I'm like, I don't want to know. Like, there's some drama there.
Yeah. Now, talk a little bit about their marketplace service, which is kind of a Craigslist thing that they have too, and they're expanding on that or trying to improve that as well.
Yeah, what they're going to do is that they've had this thing for a while now where you can sell stuff, and it actually was very prominently on the Facebook app for a while where you would click a button and you'd see everything being sold. And just because I'm a nerd, I would actually check it out when I was in different cities to see, like, how is it different from when I'm in San Francisco? But, you know, what they're doing now is that they're going to make it easier for you to do stuff like ship and to pay each other. And part of it is really just closing the loop, right? Making it a lot easier for you to actually be able to sell and send stuff and, you know, in a way, taking on eBay, I don't know. One of the things is that Facebook has never really talked much about how successful it is. And they haven't, so, you know, it's hard to tell whether or not this is really a thing, but it's another feature they want to offer. And certainly, you know, there are a lot of, mommy groups that I'm a part of because I have a 3-year-old
mm-hmm.
who, you know, we share stuff among each other in our little neighborhood where we'll say, hey, I've got these pajamas I'm no longer using. Do you want them for free or do you want them for a buck?
Sure.
And people do that all the time.
Yeah.
So this makes sense in a way.
Yeah. Well, now they you know, obviously Zuckerberg made announcements about, you know, talking about things that needed to be talking about changes to Facebook and all that stuff. What's going on with what's going on with Instagram? Are there going to be major changes there, too?
Well, yes, there are definitely major changes. So first off, it's worth noting, all of the apps are getting changed so that they're going to be interoperable. So suddenly you're going to be able to message someone from WhatsApp to Instagram to Facebook. And the reason this is important is that WhatsApp, for example, is very popular overseas because it's an easy way to avoid text message fees across countries. You know, Instagram, obviously, has become huge among the teenager set, and then Facebook is, I guess, the rest of us. And so making it easy for you to connect one another and be able to message people, even if you're not on WhatsApp or Instagram, would be really nice. So that's one thing. They're doing that. The other thing is that Instagram says that they are really going to try and take on this harassment and bullying issues.
Yeah.
And I think that's really fascinating because, you know, Facebook has never really had a great track record with this stuff. They're not in as bad a situation as Twitter, right? Twitter is kind of, you know, considered a home of all of the trolls out there and the harassers.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Facebook, you don't consider it to be the home of all these troll armies, but it is a problem. And Instagram, I think because it has all these influencers and these celebrities on it, and there are people who have said, look, I'm quitting the internet, and they're doing it on Instagram. I think that they realize, hey, if we can really take this on and kind of change the dynamic here, maybe we can become kind of one of those places you can trust. And Instagram's always tried to be kind of not the same as everyone else. They try to be, you know, the glossy, really cool photos and all that stuff. They try and sell you things that you see in the photos. It's trying to be different. And you know, I love to hear that someone's trying to take on harassment and all that stuff. I'm curious how successful they'll be, but I'm totally on board with watching it happen.
Yeah, it's that's one of the things about social media that that is a big concern, I think, of everyone, and it's certainly something that I can't stand. I mean, the trolling and the just the harassment that is everywhere, you know, especially on Twitter. It's just it's one of those deals where whenever I go online, I make sure I just don't even scroll down to the comments. Just don't do it.
You're not alone. I think a lot of people have that problem, and part of it is that, you know, we have this general problem of that when we are on the internet, we're anonymous and we feel much more comfortable just kind of being jerks to one another. And I think that there's another aspect of it as well, which is that there's a positive feedback loop, right? When you put in a nasty comment, some people respond to it and you get attention. And that kind of is its own thing, right? Well, now we're back in middle school.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's this whole dynamic that I think, you know, because there hasn't ever been any effort by the companies to curtail this, it's kind of gotten out of control. And I'm really curious to see how do they take it on without people feeling like their free expression has been diminished, right?
Their
right to protest a political figure. Imagine, like, you know, the president posts something on Facebook. I want to be able to, you know, it says in the First Amendment, petition my government, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, so if I'm not allowed to do that on Facebook because I use nasty words, how is that okay? So I'm curious to see how they're going to take all that stuff off.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Ian, hang on, okay, man?
Yep.
All right, Ian Schur is with us, writes for CNET about tech issues, and we got much more to talk about with him, and we're going to take a quick break here on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200 for talk and text and for your Wildcard Wednesday requests. We'll get back to our conversation with Ian right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. We are having a conversation with Ian Schur, executive editor, and writes about the tech world on CNET. And we're covering a bunch of really cool tech stuff, and we like talking with Ian, and we welcome Ian back. Ian, welcome back.
Hey.
All right, we'll move on to a different section of Facebook real quick here. Tell me about the Oculus Quest.
Yeah, this is a really fascinating device. So, you know, the VR world, you may have heard about it, that it's this really kind of interesting thing that's kind of futuristic but a little nerdy. And, it, you know, there was a movie made about it, right? Ready Player One, this blockbuster Steven Spielberg movie.
Yep.
But there hasn't been a lot of people buying these headsets.
The only thing whenever I think of these things, these VR sets, I just like watching people run into walls. There's tons of videos online of people just running into walls while they have.
You
those
do have
things
to be
on.
Careful about that. That's for sure. I never really thought about that a lot. But yes. Usually I'm sitting so that I'm safe.
Right.
Some people have fallen over while sitting. But you know, so VR is supposed to be like the next stage of computing, right? That's what Mark Zuckerberg said when he bought it for $2 billion. He bought this company called Oculus, integrated into Facebook, released this device in 2016 called the Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of other people out there now, HTC Vive, Valve makes this thing called the Index they just announced. Sony has a PlayStation VR. There's a bunch of these things. So the Quest is Facebook's next big device. And the reason it matters, and it's not just another VR device, is that it's really the next generation of it, right? That the first generation we can plot from 2016 and 2019. And now we're in what a lot of people consider the second wave, where these devices are getting refined, they're getting better. One of the big things about the people complained about with the first devices is that they had all these bulky wires that had to plug into an expensive computer, and, you know, it was just annoying. And the Quest actually is completely wireless. It doesn't need any sensors outside to follow where you are. It doesn't plug into a computer.
Wow.
It just works.
Wow.
And that's really nifty. And I've spoken to a number of, like, developers who make VR games and experiences, and they said that this device, they think, is going to be one of the key things in the next generation of VR. Even if it's not the best seller or it's not the one that everyone buys or whatever, they think it's really going to be kind of the standard bearer, because it's setting this kind of, it's throwing the gauntlet down, right? You'd have to have no more wires. You have to have a good experience. It has to be higher quality. And that's something that we really haven't had before. So our reviewer, Scott Stein at CNET, he actually called it, I'm not kidding around, his review called it the best thing he's tried this year. And wow. I think that says everything about it. And I've played with it. I like it, too. So it's a pretty nifty device.
Wow, that's amazing. And what is that? Do they have a price for that?
They do. Yes, it's $400, which is a little steep, right? And part of what I've been really curious about is what the right price is, right? There was a device released last year called the Oculus Go. It's less powerful. It's less capable. But it's also wireless. That device went for $199. And it sold okay. But this device is twice the price. But it offers a lot more capability. And so I'm curious to see whether people are going to jump in on that or whether they're going to still wait. You know, in a world where we spend $1,000 for an iPhone, I'm really curious, like, what is the price where people are willing to pay for it? And what do they need to see that this thing is worth to buy it? And
yeah.
That's the question I keep asking all the time. And it says something, I think, that even the people who make these devices don't entirely know yet, but they are convinced they're in the right direction. Right? So we'll see.
All right. And, you know, one of the things that people just this might be a minor thing, but the battery life, according to this, is about 2 to 3 hours, they say, correct?
Yes. But most people are spending, you know, most of the games, like, it's not like you're going to sit down for Call of Duty and spend, like, 5 hours at
right.
a time, right?
Right?
Usually you're going to hang out and you're going to watch a movie, which is an hour and a half. Unless it's Avengers Endgame and it's 3 hours, or you're gonna play a game, and you know the games are kind of bite sized chunks, right? They're not. There are some very long games, but they're even designed in small chunks because people tend to not want to be in VR forever, right? It's this fun experience. It's super cool. It's very immersive. It's totally unlike anything I've done. But I don't want to do it for like long, long, long periods of time. At one point, I want to like get up and walk around.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah,
something
yeah.
that's different from a lot of other things.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see how that item does. Now, let's get back. We were talking about privacy issues and safety issues. Microsoft just admitted that changing your password is useless. How is that going to...
Hallelujah.
Tell us about that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So this was actually, like hidden in the Microsoft website. They put out this statement as part of, every year or so, every once in a while, they update what they recommend to companies as their default security settings, right? And that's where this all came from. And so the default security setting for the longest time has been what we all hate. We have to change our password every 30 or 40 days or
right,
whatever.
Right.
And it's so annoying. And the worst part about it is that the Federal Trade Commission and the National Institute on Technology and all these people say that it's useless. It's not a good idea. But we still do it all the time. Those of us who work in corporations know this is like the scourge of your existence. Well, now Microsoft says that they put out this statement. They're not going to recommend it to companies anymore. They say it is useless and we shouldn't be doing it. And I am just, I love this company. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But we'll see whether or not anyone actually listens to them because, you know, I used to work IT in the defense world. And let me tell you, I love having control over the bad stuff that I couldn't control, right? So I have a feeling it's going to be a while before all the IT people who are listening wake up and smell the coffee and do the right thing.
Well, I mean, we get a notice here, you know, your password expires in 6 days. Would you like to change
exactly.
it now? And I do. I mean, I do. Every time I get that notice, I change it. I'm like, oh, brother. You know what I mean? And I end up changing it. But we get those notices here at WGN every month.
Yeah, and look, there are efforts underway that we've written about on CNET about trying to get rid of passwords altogether, and those are moving along. It would be really nice. I would love to live in a world without passwords. There's also these new technologies, for example, the one thing called multi-factor authentication, which has been around for a long time but getting very popular now, where they send you a text code, right, after you enter in your password, and then it basically proves you are who you are, or maybe you have a special kind of in doctor's offices, you see this a lot now. They have key cards. They have to enter in a password, and then they give their key card or a thumbprint. All of these types of things guard against what the changing password was supposed to do. So one of the things Microsoft recommends is that people, instead of changing the passwords all the time and annoying the heck out of us, that they let us do these multi-factor authentication things instead. And by the way, us at CNET, we are big fans of password managers. That's one other thing you can do. Because a lot of people use the same password everywhere they go. And one of the things you can do to stop that is you can have a password manager that protects very securely your passwords, generates a new password for every website you go to, and it just lives in there. It's super safe. And we love that technology. We have a list of the really great ones on CNET.
Oh, good. People can check that out over at CNET then.
Yes.
All right. All right. Well, the expiring password. Okay. That's a very annoying. Very annoying. Another story here that I wanted to mention before we let you go is to Amazon, we're going to get loaded. Now we're going to get bombarded with ads. What's going on there?
Yeah. So Amazon, you know, used to be that the digital media and the advertising world was primarily run by Google and Facebook and Yahoo or Oath, right? And all these people that were media companies, essentially. Well, now Amazon has suddenly become the third largest advertiser on the internet, and it like just happened. And the way they did this is that they actually take advertisements, and you see it all the time. Like if you're searching Amazon, it'll have an advertised product at the top, and it'll say this is an ad, and if you click on it, they get money. And this has become very successful for them. So now eBay and Target and Walmart and all these companies who were very hesitant to include advertising on their websites because they felt like this would break some sort of rule, they're now starting to include advertising as well.
Of course.
So we're going to start seeing a lot more Amazon-style advertising happening in these websites. And look, if it leads you to the right product, is it a bad thing? I don't know. Right, a lot of people are uncomfortable with the idea that they're being tracked at all, but it's a really interesting issue, and I'm really curious to see how people respond to it over time. But clearly, Amazon has been able to build a ginormous business off it, so people like it at least a little bit to do that.
Yeah, that's true. I just am annoyed by ads. I've gotten you get used to it though, because there are ads everywhere. You can't go without seeing an ad everywhere, on the internet.
It's true. And look, I think that part of the challenge is doing it in a way that we feel is respectful and that we feel we're willing to trade off. And I think part of this, you know, coming full circle back to Facebook, is that, you know, part of the problem is that this has gone so overboard, right? And they have so much information on us. And it's stuff that we agreed to it, but we didn't realize what we were giving away about our personal information. All of those things make people really uncomfortable. Yeah. And I think that's where the advertising industry needs to figure out how to fix, right?
Right, yeah. Well, that makes sense. Ian, always a pleasure to talk to you, man. And everybody can check out CNET. For the latest in news and stories and all kinds of tech stuff.
Absolutely. And use the password manager.
There you go.
Password.
Password manager. Check it out at CNET. Ian, we'll talk to you soon. Okay, sir?
Absolutely. Take care,
buddy. Ian Schur, everybody. Executive editor at CNET. And we love talking tech with him. And we'll do it again in a month or so. Okay, take a quick break here on 720 WGN. I see our Wild Card Wednesday is getting kicked off with somebody with a sense of humor. Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, Mary, Wild Card Wednesday. And that is any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Who requested Rain by the Beatles?
That was our good friend Sam.
Sam. All right, Sam. Yeah, I can barely see anything outside. It's so foggy and rainy.
Yeah, if you're watching on the live stream, one of those squares is just wet.
Yeah, it's just a window. It's just nothing. You can't really see anything. So, all right. Enjoyable weather for everybody. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You know, a lot of movies have been filmed here in Chicago. Some of them are really great. Some of them not so much. Obviously now the television side of Chicago has completely blown up. Dick Wolf has taken over and hired a bunch of my friends, which makes me happy. So we get to see Chicago a lot on television now, a lot. And in the movies as well. We get a lot of movies that were filmed here in Chicago, and we wanted to talk about what are your favorites? What are the best Chicago movies? 312-981-7200. If you want to jump in here, a little while ago, a few years ago, Chicago Magazine put together a list right out of Chicago Magazine of the top 40 movies filmed in Chicago. And We want to hear what your favorites are. A lot to choose from. A lot of movies have been filmed here in Chicago, and we would like to get your thoughts on some of your favorites. And also, which movies use the city the best, you know, and the most creatively. Because, you know, I mean, you get a shot of, you know, Lakeshore Drive, you get a shot of the skyline, you get Buckingham Fountain. That's, you know, those are all the regular kind of things. But if you're using different and in more interesting locations, that's also something we want to talk about. Like, how has the city been used in movies? But, yeah, favorite Chicago movies. Here's the intro to this from Chicago Magazine, and we have a link to the full article on our Facebook page, which is why you should like our Facebook page and be a part of it. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Everyone is a critic, particularly when it comes to movies, and nowhere is that more true than in Chicago. After all, a television show with two guys arguing about film started here more than three decades ago and went on to become a part of the national zeitgeist. So we are weighing in with our picks for the 40 greatest Chicago movies of all time. To keep the list manageable to the point, we classify a Chicago movie as one where at least part of the picture was actually shot in town. So it doesn't have to take place all here in Chicago, just parts of it being shot here at work as well. That definition regrettably leaves out a bunch of favorites like Scarface, The Front Page, His Girl Friday, and even Chicago. They were set in the city but filmed elsewhere, usually Hollywood or Toronto. Selecting our 40, we sifted through hundreds of candidates and to choose what we thought captured a piece of Chicago in some iconic, evocative, or magical way. As always, you are free to disagree and tell us why. So that's the intro here, and we've got 40 of them here. And there are more. There are definitely much more than 40 movies that have been filmed here, and we want to get your thoughts on it. 312-981-7200. They mentioned it here on the number 40 here is The Hunter. They described Steve McQueen's last film as a sad mess, but the spectacular chase scene, including a car driving off Marina Towers, stands the test of time. I don't think it's a sad mess. I think The Hunter is okay. I liked it. There's a lot of great Chicago stuff in that. I mean, they really use the city well. And, you know, there's a great chase scene where he's climbing on top of the old school L, which is really cool. And of course, the iconic scene where the car goes flying off of Marina Tower and into the river is just great. And I have a couple of friends of mine live in Marina Tower, and they say that it's they personally think that all of the tenants who live in Marina Tower have a copy of The Hunter on DVD. You can't live in Marina Tower and not acknowledge, you know. My friend has an actual framed one sheet poster of The Hunter in his living room, and he's got a copy of The Hunter on DVD because you have to if you live in Marina Tower. But yeah, that's really a cool. I remember when they filmed that. They filmed it in the summer of '79, and obviously, you know, right down here, just a little down the street from us here, right on the river, and there were helicopters all over the place. There was media attention. Obviously, that was a big deal, you know, dropping a car out of Marina Tower and into the river for real. So, like, the news was covering it. There were hundreds of people outside, you know, on the bridges and out, you know, standing on the edge of the river and watching it. But it was a big deal. It was a big deal when they were filming that movie in general because Steve McQueen's in it.
He's the man.
Yeah. So, like, Steve McQueen hanging out in Chicago. And it's not one of Steve McQueen's best movies. There's great stuff in it. You know, he died about a year later, you know, about a year after that movie came out, he passed away. And his last two movies were that and a Western called Tom Horn. And I just happen to really love Steve McQueen. So much so that I watched all of The Blob last week.
It's a great flick.
Oh, my God.
Now, I know it's not a movie, but I always attribute Marina Towers with the cover of Yankee Hotel Foxtrot.
Well, I mean, it's great. It's a, you know,
one of those fascinating buildings.
It was built in the 60s, and you can tell. Like, it looks like something
very
that was designed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was designed in the 60s. They used to be the idea for Marina Tower is pretty fascinating because the idea was that you could live there and you'd never have to leave. You could just, you know, because they had restaurants, they had, you know, grocery store. There was a bowling alley in Marina Tower. There was a movie theater in Marina Tower. And the idea was, if you didn't want to leave, you didn't have to leave. Everything that you needed, you know, for entertainment purposes and for food and for living was located right inside there. It was just like this area, just, you know, you stay right there. I think the buildings are cool looking. I know some people, they're gorgeous. Some people hate them, but I think they're cool looking.
It's very, I love mid-century stuff.
Yeah.
I just love that era of furniture design and architecture. And so every time I get the chance to go past it, especially on like the river or something,
yeah,
it's a sight to behold.
Well, you know, it was funny because they, you remember when that dude, tightrope walked across the two towers?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
A few years ago, my buddy who lives in the tower said that they had like all kinds of like rules and security that they couldn't leave. You couldn't go out on your balcony. Like you had to stay in. You couldn't go out on the balcony.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and he said it was nuts. It was completely nuts. I've been on the roof of the Marina Tower. I hate heights, and so I stayed. All my friends were, you know, we all visited and we went up to the roof of one of the towers, and they all went to the edge and they were looking over and stuff. I stood right in the middle. Because I'm terrified of heights, especially outside.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm terrified of heights. I hate them.
You get the vertigo thing.
Oh, absolutely. Without question. And I never was like that when I was younger. And I'm afraid to fly. And I was never afraid
to
fly.
Not a flyer.
I hate flying.
Huh.
I have not been on a plane since I quit drinking, and I don't know what I'm going to do if I have to fly. Because what I did was, in order to cope with flying, I got bombed. I used to just sit at the hotel or the airport bar and get smashed before I got on the plane.
I find flying to be incredibly calming.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it. Oh. Last time I flew was actually when 9 years ago when my ex-wife and I went to Ireland, which was about 9 years ago, like to the day, because we went.
Really?
We went in May. Yeah, we went in May of 2010. And, you know, that's an 8-hour flight. Mm-hmm. And that's long. And I hate the takeoff and the landing most, because that's when most accidents happen.
True.
If there's a plane problem, that's the takeoff
it's
and the landing.
It's going to happen then, yeah.
So I freak out anytime, you know, like that was a long plane ride, and I had some to drink before we got on the plane, and there were three movies. They showed three movies, so it filled up. And one of the movies, though, I thought was hilarious that they showed was Marley and Me, a plane full of people crying. So. Well, anyway, so The Hunter, not the greatest movie in the universe, but it used the city really well. And that moment with the car coming off of the Marina Towers and into the Chicago River is one of those iconic movie moments, and really one of the coolest Chicago movie moments of all time. Here's Orlando on WGNA. Orlando, are you there? Okay. Let's see if something's wrong with Orlando's phone. yeah. Okay. Tom, I couldn't hear Orlando. Can you see if he's okay? Because he wasn't responding. They also next on this list, they have The Fury, which I think is just fantastic that they include The Fury. It's a true guilty pleasure as kids with occult powers go to a special Linkin Park school and fight off a government plot. You've seen The Fury, right?
Yeah.
I love that movie. It is ridiculous, but I love it. And I mean, it's ridiculous, but I love it for a lot of reasons. One, it's De Palma. So immediately it's awesome. Two, Kirk Douglas is in it. Three, it was shot here, and they used the locations really well, including a fantastic scene that takes place in old Chicago. You're too young to remember old Chicago.
Yeah.
It was an indoor amusement park that had the first loop-to-loop roller coaster.
Now, I did hear about it as a kid.
Yeah. I used to go there all the time in the 70s. It was a big 70s thing.
Was it called the Chicago Loop?
Yeah, yes, that was the name of the roller coaster.
Well, that was something when I was a kid. I always used to get really confused. Because my mom would say, oh, yeah, we're going to the Loop. And I'd be with my grandmother or something like that. Yeah, we're going to the Loop. And I literally thought that there was like some sort of roller coaster or like the trains did a literal loop-de-loop somewhere in this city. I was like, why? Why would they do such a thing?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, obviously it's named after, you know, the roller coaster was named after
right.
The area that we're not very far from.
I never understood what the loop was until they're like, no, it just means it trains turn around and do a loop.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a fantastic scene in The Fury that takes place in Old Chicago. So I love the fact that Old Chicago is forever captured in film because that place was so weird. It was in Bolingbrook, and the idea was that it was an indoor, there was a mall surrounding an amusement park. So the idea was you can shop, you could eat, you can go and ride some roller coasters and all that stuff. And I loved it because when I was a kid, I loved amusement parks and I loved roller coasters and stuff. And so we used to go pretty regularly. We went to Old Chicago pretty regularly in the 70s. But the problem was that there were no anchor stores. Like, they didn't have, like, a Macy's. They didn't have, like, a Lord & Taylor or anything.
Nothing
like
that was going to stick around for a long
time. These terrible storefront stores. Lots of, like, iron-on T-shirt places where you can get, decals ironed onto your T-shirts.
You're telling me that wasn't an anchor store?
Yeah. About four of those. And they had, like, bad popcorn stores. It smelled weird in Old Chicago. It was just a weird place, but I loved it, and I loved the scene in The Fury. And here's another reason why The Fury rules. John Cassavetes explodes at the end of the movie. How is that not the greatest thing ever? That's how you end a movie. Have John Cassavetes explode. Like, literally, explode. Amy Irving blows up John Cassavetes at the end of The Fury.
I wonder what it was like for De Palma to try and just, like, explain that to Nick. Or, sorry, John.
Yeah.
Nick's son.
Well, you know, the thing is, Cassavetes, the only reason Cassavetes, when they interviewed, when John Cassavetes was interviewed all the time, he was like, I've made a lot of crappy movies. I'm sorry. He said, I've been in a lot of crappy movies. And the only reason he made those movies, he starred in those movies, so he could make his own.
Right.
I mean, that's why he did it. You know, he wanted to earn money so that he can make his own movies, which were awesome.
Yeah. I think, was this before or after, like, Love Streams?
That's before Love Streams. Love Streams was like 84.
So imagine that some of the profits from The Fury, some of the money he made from The Fury.
Well, Fury was in 78. He was in full-on director mode at that time. Yeah,
he was doing like Woman Under the Influence,
which is unbelievable. Jenna Rollins, for God's sake. So, all right, we got a break. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're talking about Chicago Magazine picked their 40 best movies filmed in Chicago. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. What are your thoughts on that? And what movies use Chicago the best? Great locations. Topic that we have right now, this movie will be talked about. that's risky business right there. Who requested that?
That was April in Homewood.
Ah, April, thank you.
Yeah, once she heard we were talking about this, she knows how much you love Risky Business.
It's my second favorite movie of all time.
And Tangerine Dream appears twice for soundtracks on this list.
With Thief.
Yeah.
They did a lot of great scores, Tangerine Dream.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen the movie The Keep?
I have. It's one of those ones.
It's a weird movie, man.
It's super weird, but I sought it out because I was like, well, Tangerine Dream did the soundtrack.
And Michael Mann directed it. It's a strange movie.
Mr. Mann.
It's a weird movie. I remember seeing it in the theater, you know, when it came out, and afterwards just going, what the hell was that? But I liked it. For some weird reason, I liked it. And the score is great, too. So... all right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Chicago Magazine put together a list of 40 of the best movies that were filmed here in Chicago. Let's see. We open up the phone lines here at 312-981-7200. We want to hear from you. Talk and text. We got a bunch of texts. Here's Ike on WGN. Go ahead, Ike.
Hey, Nick. How's it going with you, man?
All right.
Yeah, first off, I actually work as a background extra for the Chicago shows down in Sense Space, and I never told you, but I'm actually planning to go into filmmaking. So I'm glad that said Chicago is kind of gained a reputation it deserves when it comes to productions than before now.
Yeah.
Okay, the first two movies I think about, actually these two movies involve two great martial artists. Of course, Steve Seagal shot his first movie here, Above the Law, right. And Chuck Norris did a film here called Code of Silence, and they were both directed by Andrew Davis.
Yeah, Andy Davis directed those movies. Both of them shot here. And of course, Andy Davis is from here. He's from the south side of Chicago. One of his first movies was called Stony Island.
I remember he did the package. Of course, his big one was The Fugitive. And of course, right. I remember that scene in Code of Silence when Chuck Norris, he's on top of the L train. That's a very memorable scene for me.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Ike, thanks.
No problem.
Take care. I think Code of Silence, Andy Davis Tom, I've not told you this. I'm good friends with Tony Fitzpatrick.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 I've known him for years.
That's awesome.
And obviously he's an amazing artist. He's a Renaissance man, a true Chicagoan, and a terrific actor, and a great writer. And he's really good friends with John McNaughton, who I've gotten to know through him, and Andy Davis. And so I did this play that I co-wrote and I directed called Black and Blue back in 2011, summer of 2011. And it was about two brothers. It took place in a bar. And it was about two brothers, one a hardcore Sox fan, one a hardcore Cub fan. And it was about their relationship and that. So I did not tell my actors this. We had an unbelievable run with it. It was a sold-out run. We got great reviews, and it ran for a really long time. And it was one of those shows. We brought it back again in 2013. And it was it could have been a perennial show that we would bring back over and over again. And it took place, each scene took place during an interleague game. And not when it was just a Crosstown Classic that didn't count, but when they did interleague play and it started. That's where it took place. It took place over the course of a bunch of years, the play did. And I was I loved that show. It was one of my favorite shows. And so Tony says he's coming, because Tony has come seen my plays in the past, and Tony's like, yeah, I'm coming. Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm going to need three seats total. He brought John McNaughton, and he brought Andy Davis. And I almost crapped my pants when I found out. He's like, yeah, I'm going to bring John and Andy. And I'm like, what? So they came to see the show, and I was a nervous wreck. And I didn't tell the actors. I didn't want to say, hey, the director of Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer and the director of The Fugitive are going to be in the audience watching you act.
Oh boy!
Yeah, and it was a terrific performance. My actors knocked it out of the park, and then afterwards, they were kind enough to the guys were kind enough to hang out and say hello to my cast and everything, and I got to talk to them. I know McNaughton. I only met Andy Davis the one time. I had him on my show once too,
mm-hmm.
But they couldn't have been nicer, and they said they liked it. That was nice of them. They said they liked it, but it was real weird because I sat in the back of the house.
You're just like,
and I was looking at the back of their heads, going, "Are they laughing? Please tell me that they're laughing. I hope they're really laughing."
Mm.
So it was really weird. So, yeah, I'm going to bring John and Andy. I'm like, oh my god,
two fantastic, two of my
favorite filmmakers.
Oh jeez, going to bring Shakespeare too.
It was a little nerve wracking, I got to say, but it was cool. I mean, it was very, very cool that they came. 301 area code also mentions The Fugitive. Return to me. Well, Bonnie Hunt and David Duchovny, and then Code of Silence. Code of Silence is, seriously, I think one of my favorite Chicago movies because of what I was talking about earlier was the unique way that they use the locations. Like, Andy Davis knows this city.
Right.
And he knows what's cool about it. You're not just going to see a shot of the Hancock Building. You're going to see some really cool neighborhoods. And so, Code of Silence, I think, is actually one of my favorite uses of Chicago in any movie.
Yeah, that's the one mark that you'll find in any filmmaker from Chicago. If they shoot in Chicago, they're not doing it the way that everybody else would do it.
Exactly.
Like Michael Mann, when we get to Thief.
Yeah.
I could talk for hours about
Thief. Thief, there's a scene in Thief that the old alcoholic in me gets all weepy. And I start crying. They blow up the Green Mill.
Yeah.
You can't blow up the Green Mill.
And I live literally 10 minutes from it. And every time I walk by, I just see it.
I don't want to watch the Green Mill get blow up. You know, when I was a drinking man, I was like, oh, God, don't. No. Where am I going to go at 3 o'clock in the morning?
It's like blowing up. You can't blow up the Vatican.
You can't do that. Can't do it. Special place. Even though I don't go there anymore, it's a very special place. All right. We got to take a break. What do you guys think? Chicago Magazine put together their favorite movies shot here in Chicago. 312-981-7200. We want to hear from you both. Talk and text.
just one of your many toys. You don't own me.
Right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and it's Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in now. That's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. Who requested that?
That was Kathy. Wanted to hear a little Ann Wilson, the song You Don't Own Me.
Yeah, that woman can sing.
I know.
All right. We are back here, and we're talking about movies that are shot in Chicago. Which ones are your favorites? Chicago Magazine a few years ago put together their list of the 40 best Chicago shot movies, and we would love to hear from you. Which ones do you like? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We got some texts. Let's get through some of these texts, and we'll get back to the list. 312, area code. Hey, Nicky. Oh, that's my name's Nick. I stopped being called Nicky when I was 12, so the name is Nick. Do not refer to me as Nicky. Not fond of that. Unless it's Nicky D, the drummer, from Craig.
Wiki Nicky.
Wiki Nicky, yeah. But anyway, not in casual conversation, my name is Nick. how about Ferris? And of course, this person brings up Ferris Bueller. The person calling me Nicky brings up Ferris Bueller. That makes sense. A Ferris Bueller fan would call me Nicky. Yes, of course, Ferris Bueller was shot here, and the movie sucks. It's the second worst movie ever made.
Second?
Second worst movie of all time.
What's the worst one?
Natural Born Killers is the worst movie.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you don't like that one.
Yeah. No, it's not that I don't like it. I despise that movie. 708 area code says, there was also an ice rink in Marina Towers. That's right. My brother was a guard, and I played peewee hockey there.
That's got to be pretty cool.
It was, I'm telling you, when they first opened up, you know, Marina Towers, they had this, just the whole plan was it was just going to be this environment where you can just stay here and do anything you need to do. Yeah, it's pretty cool. 708 area code. Running Scared is a very underrated buddy movie that was shot in Chicago with a classic car chase on the L tracks. Yeah, that's Gregory the late great Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal. And that is a funny movie. It's a funny. Peter Himes directed that movie. Peter Himes also from Chicago. Used to work at Channel 2. Direct news broadcasts at Channel 2, worked for CBS. And then, yeah. So, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 815 area code says, two Chicago movies I really love that most people don't think of is Kissing a Fool, which also featured the Green Mill heavily, and Stir of Echoes. Stir of Echoes got mentioned yesterday. We were talking about Stir of Echoes because it came out the same year as Sixth Sense, 1999. We were talking about movies from 1999 yesterday on the show. And Stir of Echoes is a really, really good movie that not a lot of people have seen. Kevin Bacon movie shot here locally. Lots of great local talent in it. And it's a good movie. It's really creepy and good. 815 area code says Tom Hanks and Jackie Gleason did a movie in Chicago. Forgot what it was. That was Nothing in Common. Tom Hanks, Jackie Gleason shot right here in Chicago. That was Nothing in Common. It says my brother was an extra in it and I liked it. Yeah, it's a good movie. Jay says, hey, Nick, the Tribune reported a movie was filmed at the old Tasty Pup 50 style restaurant located on the corner of Harlem and Carmen in Chicago's old Norwood Park neighborhood. It had black and white square tile flooring, white wall tile, and red plastic chairs. I don't remember the name of the movie. I lived next door in 89, 90, and 91.
Let's see if we can find that.
I don't know. We'll have to look, try and find that. Try and find that one. Oh, excuse me. Okay. Get back to the list that was put together by Chicago Magazine. And again, we want to hear from you. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. Best movies shot here in this beautiful city. 312-981-7200. By the way, coming up, we're going to play Know Your Onion. Tom is going to be your host. And that's where Tom is going to read you some headlines. And you have to find out, you have to guess whether the headline is a real news headline or it's a fake news headline from the comedy newspaper. Of fake news comedy satire, The Onion. That's what The Onion is. So then you have to say real or onion. We'll do that later. Okay, next, Coolie High, a terrific movie. A rollicking African-American version of American Graffiti, loosely based on the high school Coolie Vocational that served the Cabrini-Green projects. Yeah, I enjoyed that. I enjoy that movie a lot.
It's so fun.
Yeah, it's a terrific movie. Really, really good. And also, it has a really strong emotional ending too. Like it's really, it kind of sneaks up on you. But it's a good movie. Good location work in that one as well. My Best Friend's Wedding. This romantic comedy with Julia Roberts pursuing love at a White Sox game and on the North Shore hits all the bases. Yeah.
I was on a plane once and they messed something up with the entertainment. It was one of those flights across the pond and they messed something up with like what they were playing. And so they just showed My Best Friend's Wedding like three times on repeat.
Oh God.
I felt like I was in purgatory. I had died at some point on the flight and didn't realize it, and then I was stuck watching that movie.
That's horrible. Oh my God. That was like when I was at LaGuardia. I was stuck on the something went wrong at LaGuardia. There's a real shock. LaGuardia barely qualifies as an airport.
It's hell's waiting room.
Oh, it's the worst. But we were stuck on the tarmac at LaGuardia, in a plane, and they popped in an episode of Friends, and that's the only time I've ever seen an episode of Friends from beginning to end. Because I was stuck on a plane. That's the only time I've ever watched an entire episode of Friends. It leaves with the sound on, because it's on overnights here. They show it late night on Channel 9, and so I see episodes every night, because I have two monitors here that are tuned into Channel 9. So, you know, like every night, I see the episodes here with the sound down. But here's this one, Continental Divide. From 1981, one of the last movies that John Belushi starred in. This Royko-esque reporter, John Belushi, brushes too close to corruption in Bolt's town, so only half the movie is set in Chicago, but it includes some great shots of the since-demolished Sun-Times newsroom. Yes. Nice use of Chicago there. And I actually, you know, I really like that movie, and it was a obviously change of pace from what Belushi normally did and what he was known for. You know, he did play this Royko-esque kind of a writer. But then it turns into a kind of a lovely romantic comedy when he meets Blair Brown, you know, out in the middle of the wilderness. And it's a nice change of pace for Belushi. And I thought it was one of those movies that, you know, when I saw it, It showed the potential that Belushi had beyond doing, you know, broad comedy or, you know, the kind of stuff that he was known for on SNL or in Animal House and stuff like that. He was capable of doing, you know, of being pretty straight and serious and also being very funny and romantic. So I like Continental Divide. I'm a fan of that movie. They picked Candyman. Oh, yeah. Candyman. Just when you thought gentrification was bad, this slasher movie tracks an urban legend through the UIC campus and various local public housing projects. By the way, Candyman, speaking of Candyman, Tony Todd and Virginia Madsen at Flashback Weekend. And you know what else they're shoring up for Flashback, Tom? A full-on Night of the Creeps reunion.
Woo!
Yeah, Fred Decker's going to be there. The great Tom Atkins is going to be there. Yep. Jason Lively. And two of the other cast. There's like five cast members and Fred Decker.
I love Night of the Creeps.
So do I.
Oh, it's great.
And Tom Atkins rules. Well, Tom Atkins rules in everything.
Mm-hmm.
But he's hilarious in Night of the Creeps. Good news is your dates are here. Bad news is they're dead. I mean, it's just, you know. So that's going to be fun. That's going to be top. By the way, Tom Atkins is so cool. He's been to Flashback. This is probably like his fifth or sixth time at Flashback. He's a very cool dude. Very cool dude. And somebody made a costume. I saw it wasn't a Flashback. It was a different con, but it was posted online, and somebody made a costume that had a phone attached to it. It had a phone on it. It was a costume, and on their head was a TV set, with the flashing pumpkin. And so there's video footage of Atkins recreating the ending of Halloween 3.
Oh boy!
Going stop no! And with the flashing, and that was the, and they posted it online. That's how cool Tom Atkins. He would do that.
You know, you can actually get a an action figure of Tom Atkins in Night of the Creeps.
Oh yeah,
it's like if you pay the $70 special edition.
Yeah.
That they just did for Night of the Creeps. You got him with the trench coat and the big shotgun.
Well, the other thing is that at Flashback, he's going to do a photo op with the costume on. So yeah. All right, we're talking about movies filmed here in Chicago. And Candyman is mentioned here, which is a really terrific and creepy movie. And they do really nice location work in that movie. Here's Linda on WGN. Go ahead, Linda.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, they had four Friends that was made here on the South Side and in Whiting, Indiana. It was about family coming from Yugoslavia.
Right.
They were Serbian in that.
Yep.
And it was made also by U.S. Steel. And then the other one was The Doll Maker with Jane Fonda.
Mm.
It was made around 103rd and Commercial in Torrance and South Deering area about a family that came from southern states and trying to make a better life.
Right.
And they showed the rail yards from Wisconsin Steel in that one.
Yeah.
And then The Fugitive, Andy Davis made it.
Right.
And I went to high school with Andy.
Yeah. We were just talking about Andy Davis a few minutes ago.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see to him this August when he comes in, if he's going to come in and a bunch of us meet.
Oh, okay.
For like a mini reunion. And then Scott, I can't think of his full name. He wrote the book Endless Love, and it was made into a movie.
Yeah.
And part of it was made here in Chicago.
Right. Yeah, I can't remember the name of the author either, but yeah. Okay, Linda, thanks for the call.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, you ever see Endless Love?
I did.
Oh my God. I mean, just horrendous. I remember laughing my ass off while watching the first time I saw that movie, and I remember that Martin Hewitt was supposed to be the next big thing.
Yeah.
Remember when they were pushing Martin Hewitt? He's going to be the next romantic punk. And then that movie came out, and that was all you heard from Martin Hewitt.
Listen, I was in for Brooke Shields.
Well, I mean, I love Brooke Shields. I think she's fantastic, but that movie's horrendous.
It's not their greatest moment.
No.
No.
And neither is it Franco Zeffirelli's greatest moment either. It's a terrible movie. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we've got more Chicago movies. What are your favorites? Which ones here filmed in Chicago? And also, what are the really cool usages? Linda pointed out some really fun stuff, too, of some of the great location work, too. So we want you to jump in here at 312-981-7200. We'll get back to it after this.
The biggest show in town is Huckleberry Hound for all you guys and gals. The biggest fun in town is Huckleberry Hound with all his cartoon pals. It's Huckleberry Fun, it's for everyone. So come on, gather round. Get yourself all set, clean up your creamy set for Huckleberry.
Yeah, Huckleberry Hound. Yeah, it's Wild Card Wednesday, man. It wouldn't be Wild Card Wednesday if things didn't get a little weird. Wild Card Wednesday. You hear me, Wild Card Wednesday? Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Who requested that?
That was Paul.
Paul. All right, Paul.
Huckleberry Hound.
All right. All right, coming up at 5 o'clock is Steve Grzanich with the opening bell. Also coming up, The Stories That Matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We're talking about movies that are shot here in this beautiful city, Chicago. A few years back, Chicago Magazine put together their list of 40 movies that were the best 40 movies that were filmed here in Chicago, and we're going through those. Next here, they mentioned 16 Candles. John Hughes' first movie about middle-class high school kids remains one of his best and launched Molly Ringwald's her career into teen stardom. Yeah. As another one, John Hughes' movies, lots of John Hughes movies shot here. okay, here is Carol on WGN. Go ahead, Carol.
Hi, Nick. I've been listening to you for a long time.
Thank you.
And it was fun for me when they filmed a little portion of the package on my street. And that January, they had to actually make the snow that year in Chicago and put up Christmas decorations.
I remember that. I totally remember that.
And that was so cool for me because they stayed a whole week with their trailers and all on the street. And Joanna Cassidy was the part they filmed one of her. But it's only probably a couple minutes in the actual movie.
Yeah, it's amazing how long it takes for them to shoot footage that lasts a minute in a movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, I'd never seen one film before.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's always a lot of fun. Carol, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye. We should mention Widows from last year.
Oh, yeah, of course.
A friend of mine, Sergio, lives a block away. Have you seen Widows?
I have seen it like 8 times. It's a masterclass.
It's a great movie. The fact that nobody saw it is a damn crime. Because it's a great heist movie. And it's also filled with incredible performances. I mean, the acting in that movie is beyond stellar. I mean, you look at the cast. And there's also like some really great twists in it too. But my friend lives a block away from, you know, the scene where they firebomb the car, so they're throwing them down the block from where my friend lives. They shot that.
That's rad. I know the diner that they shot in for, like, you know, when they would go into those diner scenes, that was over right by the Riviera. It's a little, the Golden Pancake House. Yep. I go there for breakfast all the time.
Yep.
And that movie's also got a WGN radio connection. It's got a special thanks to Rick Pearson,
mm-hmm.
who he was like a consultant. Like, he talked with director Steve McQueen and the writer as well, and he helped him out with a lot of the political stuff.
Which is also on par, too, in the movie.
Yeah, it's spot on.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. And I have a lot of friends in it. So that was fun, too. Here's James on WGN. Hi, James.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right. What's up?
You mentioned these are my movies. The one you mentioned one, I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday. Cooley High was filmed in Chicago.
Yeah, we just talked about that one. Yeah.
Also, Mahogany with Billy Dee Williams and Diana Ross, outside of Chicago.
Outside of Chicago, that's right. I haven't seen that movie in years.
Yeah, so. Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh, yeah.
Was also filmed.
Yeah.
And an honorable mention, I can't remember what it was, but Keanu Reeves was the baseball coach in the Caprini Green Project.
Hardball.
That one, I don't know if you mentioned that one. Yeah, Hardball.
Hardball, yeah. No, we haven't mentioned that one. Yeah, that was great. All right, James. Thanks, man.
No problem.
All right. 312. Now, speaking of Keanu, Chain Reaction. Another Andy Davis.
So much fun.
Another Andy Davis movie.
Man, that guy has made some seriously good movies.
Oh, yeah. No, he's the man. He is the man. 773 area code says, if you were not an extra in Road to Perdition, then you lived out of time. Yeah, I had a lot of friends in that one, too.
I imagine.
Yeah. That's a good movie. I haven't seen that one in a really long time. I need to dust that one off.
It's a little bit lost. Is there some of it I feel like it's kind of lost to time? People don't talk about it all that much until you start talking about Chicago movies.
708 area code, Adventures in Babysitting. Great shot on top of the rhombus roof period, pyramid roof building. Bob says the movie Backdraft and Uncle Buck were filmed in Chicago. Okay. The breakup with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston. Thanks for bringing that one up. God, I hated that movie.
It was a hit. It was kind of a hit, though.
Yeah, I remember when I reviewed that movie, because I used to review on Roy's show on Saturday mornings, and when Roy retired, John Williams did the Saturday show, so I was reviewing movies with him for a little while, and then Cochran took over on Saturday mornings, and so I was reviewing on his show. And then I remember when I reviewed it, because it was Saturday morning, Cochran was doing the show at that time when the breakup came out, and I had seen it the night before. Obviously, I went to Friday night. My ex and I went to go see it, and it was the theater just was filled with nothing but just the whitest people possible. and they were just like loving it. It was like Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston, you know, who are like white icons. And
hey, I like Vince Vaughn. I think he's incredibly funny at times.
I thought he was great in that wrestling movie. That just the movie with about Paige.
Fighting with My Family.
Yeah. He was great in that. But there are times when I can't stand him. And he's really? Made some movies. Like, I hate The Wedding Crashers.
Oh.
I can't stand that movie. I hated The Breakup. The
what about Old School? You like Old School?
Part of it. I think Will Ferrell's funny in it. And I think parts of it, that's a movie that definitely wears out its welcome. I mean, like, for me, the last half hour was like trudging through quicksand.
It's not the strongest part of the movie.
Yeah.
I'll admit that.
And I'm not a Todd Phillips fan at all. Yeah. And yeah, he's responsible for the new Joker movie. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. Jeez. All right, we'll take a break here. The news is coming up next.
Crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue.
Not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, as we discovered earlier this week. Patsy Cline, who requested that?
That was Jeff from Hammond.
All right, Jeff from Hammond. Wildcard Wednesday continues. You hear me, Wildcard Wednesday? Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's Nick DiGilio here. I'm your overnight dude here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich follows this show with the opening bell. And the great Steve Cochran, my main man, with your morning drive on this Wednesday morning. Yeah. So we're going to talk about some useless advice. But then that turns out to be useful. It's also May Day. We're going to get into that. And we're going to play a round of Know Your Onion. The Onion, for those people who might not be aware, The Onion is a satirical newspaper that writes funny fake news stories. But the news is so weird now, the real news is so weird now, that it's hard to tell whether it's an Onion headline or whether it's a real headline. And that's the test that we're going to give you. And if we give them five, and if they get a majority out of the five?
Yeah, you're going to get five. And if you get at least three out of five, we got a nice prize for you.
Lou Malnati's pizza.
Yeah, but remember, everybody's a winner.
Everybody's a winner. So we're going to do that a little bit later on. I'll tell you what number caller, because we're going to do like maybe caller number five or caller number six. Though the person that gets through, they'll be the ones that get on the air, and we'll do that a little bit later on. That'll be coming up later on. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are talking about movies shot here in Chicago. So many to choose from, so many good ones, and some of the great location usage of some of these movies here in Chicago. Really, really fun to watch. And we want to hear from you. Talk or text at 312-981-7200. 331 area code says, one of my favorite movies filmed in Chicago is My Bodyguard with Chris Makepeace and Matt Dillon. I believe it was the film debut for Joan Cusack. It was. It was Joan Cusack's film debut. Absolutely. I haven't seen that movie in a very long time, but they use a lot of local talent in it. All Chicago locations shot completely here in Chicago. I want to say it was Lakeview High School. Yeah, it was Lakeview High School where they went to school, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a really good film, and lots of at the time lots of Second City main stagers were in it, including George Wendt. This was years before Cheers became a thing, and George Wendt was in it as well, and many of the people from Second City who were on the main stage at that time when the movie was shot here in the late 70s. It's a fun movie. 724 area code says The Dark Knight used several cities including Chicago to create Gotham City. Dark Knight is one of the most famous movies shot here in Chicago, and you know they did some really incredible stuff, including flipping a semi over. The Dark Knight had they shot almost all in the entire. I think they shot almost the entire film here. 219 Erica says, "I love the movie Source Code. A lot of it happens in a metro train." Yeah, Source Code's a good movie. Good, nice piece of science fiction there from Duncan Jones, David Bowie's son, who's turned out to be a really good filmmaker. All right. How about The Untouchables? That's on the Chicago Magazine list. The Untouchables, Prohibition, Gangsters, Crime Busters, and the city itself never looked more smashing than it does in this Brian De Palma epic. Yeah. I love that movie. I love The Untouchables. It's great. Next one mentioned in the article here is When Harry Met Sally. Their episodic journey begins in Hyde Park, then takes a wrong turn on Lakeshore Drive on the way to Romance and New York City. Yeah, they're going the wrong way on Lakeshore Drive, but it's the pretty way. That's why they put it in the movie. But I remember when I saw When Harry Met Sally, it was here in this city. Everybody just started laughing when they said that they were driving to New York, and then they show them going southbound on Lakeshore Drive, just because that view of coming into the downtown area, the view of the city is so beautiful that they wanted to use that. But everybody that's another thing that's really fun about seeing movies that were shot here in Chicago is the inconsistencies of locations sometimes, because we know, the city and we know parts of the city. So if there's let's say there's a chase scene that's being filmed. And so let's say there's a chase and maybe they're flying down Western. You know, the car chase is flying down Western, and then they make a left turn onto Harlem or something. And anybody who's from Chicago just immediately goes, man, that's not even near where that scene, that last cut took place. You can see that a lot. You said Dark Knight. You can see that a lot in Dark Knight.
Even in, I know it's not a movie, but Stranger Things in season 2 had an episode where Eleven goes to Chicago. And apparently the view that she had of the skyline would have placed her in the middle of Lake Michigan.
Right.
When she was supposed to be in some slum or something like that.
Right. Somebody mentioned Backdraft. Dazzling special effects in a small role by Robert De Niro sparked the plot about two antagonistic firefighter brothers and a serial arsonist. Also not one of my favorite movies at all. Mercury Rising gets mentioned here. Dark, shadowy action thriller shows impressive murk and suspense as Bruce Willis protects an autistic kid who can decipher government codes. I got to say, I know I've seen that movie. I remember nothing about it.
Yeah, no.
I truly remember nothing at all about it. Only the Lonely. It's the best movie ever made by John Candy, who plays a cop forced to choose between his mother and his girlfriend, plus great shots of Wrigleyville. Another John Hughes one. John Candy. John Candy and his romantic interest, Ally Sheedy, if I remember correctly. John Candy was just the best. He was the best. While You Were Sleeping. This little sleeper of a romantic comedy enshrined Sandra Bullock playing a lovelorn CTA fare taker as the adorable girl next door. She became America's sweetheart after that movie.
Now that's the one where she's got her boyfriend or whatever. He goes into a coma.
Right.
She falls in love with the brother.
Yeah.
And it's Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman is Peter Gallagher, if I'm not mistaken. It's Peter Gallagher who's in the coma.
Right.
And then Bill Pullman is the romantic interest in it.
I guess Sandra Bullock, not one of my favorite actors.
I think she's great. She's got
some roles. She's got some roles I enjoy.
She won an Oscar for the wrong movie because the Blind Side was a terrible movie. It was a terrible movie. She wasn't very good in it. She should have won the Oscar for Gravity. She was great in Gravity. I love her in Speed. I think she's outstanding in Speed. I like Sandra Bullock. I do.
I like some.
Yeah.
A smattering.
But I think she's got chops. I really do. And I'm telling you, man.
And she's got appeal.
I really think she's great in Gravity. I think that is a remarkable performance, not just physically, but emotionally. Like the journey that she goes through in that movie. I think she's great in it. Hey, look what's next on the list.
What?
North by Northwest. Why?
Say?
What?
Who? Where?
I just happened to be hosting a screening of that on Tuesday, the 7th of May. And I would love you guys to come out and see it. North by Northwest Here's what they say about it. Hitchcock's masterpiece thriller has Cary Grant running for his life, including pivotal scenes at the LaSalle Street Station and Ambassador East Hotel. So you get to see those places, those wonderful Chicago locations, on the big screen in wonderful Technicolor VistaVision. As I host the screening, it's at the AMC Rosemont 18, formerly Movieco. It's $10 to get in, and parking is free. Tuesday, May 7th. Movie starts at 8. I'll introduce it. We'll talk about it afterwards. Get your seats now. Reserve your seats right now. North by Northwest, Tuesday night. AMC Rosemont 18, one of the best Hitchcock movies of all time. Very, very rarely gets shown on the big screen. This is your chance to see a Hitchcock masterpiece in all its glory on the big screen. You can go to amctheaters.com right now and reserve your seats. Go to the seating chart, pick the seats you want. They'll be waiting for you. They will be waiting for you on May 7th. Tuesday, May 7th starts at 8 o'clock. Get your seats now. Reserve them at amctheaters.com for North by Northwest on the big screen. All right, let's see. Here is Russ on WGN. Hi, Russ.
Yeah, about Northside 777, was it, with Jimmy Stewart?
Yeah, Jimmy Stewart, a classic. Classic.
Right? And yep. that was Chicago.
Yeah, it was shot here. Yeah. Yep.
Wanda Skrutnik, huh?
Yeah. Great stuff. Called North.
Mother, I would scrub floors. I would scrub till my skin comes off, because my son is innocent and he's a reporter. And he blows up that picture in the movie, right?
Yeah. It's a classic, an absolute classic.
Here's a trivia thing. You know the guy Stuart Granger?
Yeah, of course.
You know what his real name was?
No.
Jimmy Stewart. So he couldn't use Jimmy Stewart, obviously, because of Jimmy Stewart was before him.
Yeah. Well, all right, didn't know that.
You ever heard that before?
No, I didn't. All right, Russ, thanks.
But Stuart Granger's real name is Jimmy Stewart, but he couldn't go by that, so we went Stuart Granger.
Gotcha. All right, thanks, Russ.
Maybe Granger was his mother's maiden name. Who knows?
All right, Russ, thanks. So, yeah. So they say that call Northside 777 is the first major Hollywood movie that was shot in Chicago. It's a film noir classic that stars Jimmy Stewart as a skeptical reporter who ends up establishing the innocence of a wrongly convicted murderer. It's a really, really good movie. And I love the fact that that has the distinction of being the first Hollywood movie that was shot in Chicago. That's really fun. So, yet another great one. Nothing in Common gets mentioned in this article. Gary Marshall's comedy about an estranged father and son made Tom Hanks a star and showcased Jackie Gleason's final performance. And that is a really good movie. Lots of stuff going on. Here's John on WGN. Hey, John.
John?
Yeah, John, turn your radio down, man.
It's
down.
All right, go ahead.
Yes, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, turn your radio down. Yeah, okay. The radio's not turned down, John, so I'm going to put Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Okay, he mentioned Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Okay.
I had to warn him.
Yeah.
I said, you know, you're going to mention it, and he doesn't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate Ferris Bueller's Day Off. We've that's been well established.
What's worse, the movie or the TV show?
Well, I never saw the TV show.
Really? Didn't even take...
Why would I watch the TV show when I think of that much about the movie?
Research? Curiosity?
No. I mean, you know, if I had a radio show, and it would be fodder for the show that we can talk about, I would have watched it. Yeah. But it's based on a movie that I absolutely despise, and it stars Charlie Schlatter. Like, who the hell's going to voluntarily watch anything with Charlie Schlatter in it? All right. We have to break here, and when we come back, more Chicago movies from this article that Chicago Magazine put together. 312-981-7200, talk and text. Wildcard Wednesday continues. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. Who requested that?
That was Trucker Rich.
Oh, no. All right. Thank you, Trucker Rich. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are talking about movies that were shot here in Chicago. Some time ago, Chicago Magazine threw together their top 40 movies filmed here. We haven't talked about movies filmed in Chicago in a while, and we're bringing up a lot of titles that that are bringing back memories. Like this one, Soul Food. This enjoyable portrait of a matriarchal, centered, middle-class African-American family on the South Side was a long time coming. Good movie, Soul Food. Here's one, About Last Night, shot right here in Chicago. Underrated romantic drama based on a David Mamet play that has racy bedroom scenes between Demi Moore and Rob Lowe and a star turned by Jim Belushi. Yeah, I don't know if I agree with the assessment of that movie, but yeah, it was shot here. Tons of locations here, and including Mothers. They shot a lot of it in the bar, Mothers. So, let's see. Here is John on WGN. Hi, John.
Yes, hello. I heard you. I missed hearing you talk about Running Scared. My mother, who was a Chicago actress, was in that movie. She played Aunt Sophie, who, at the very beginning, when they go to Aunt Rose's funeral, and she talks to Billy Crystal, and Gregory Hines is there, and Joe Pantoliano in handcuffs. And so that was one of her many movie roles. And the fun thing about that is that it was just a one-day shoot, but she became friends with Joe Pantoliano. And my mother taught an acting class down here in Park Forest at the theater, Illinois Theater Center, that my parents founded. And Joe Pantoliano came down one day that he wasn't needed for filming and talked to her teenage acting class. So that was pretty cool. At that point, they just knew him as Guido the Killer Pimp from Risky Business.
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean that's cool. That's a great story. It's nice to know that Joey Pants is a nice guy. It takes some time to do this.
He had nothing to do one day. He said, "You know, I'm going to go and visit Tel Billig's acting class and talk to her kids."
That's cool. That's very, very cool. It's a great story. John, thanks for the call. Yeah, Joey Pants, man,
he's the best.
Oh, where's he been, man?
I don't know. I mean, he's done so much.
It's been a while since I've seen Joey Pants in anything.
You know. I'd love to talk to him about just the whole career.
Yeah, no, he's been in a lot of great movies. Mm-hmm.
I adore him in The Fugitive.
I love him in everything.
Yeah.
What
was his name in The Fugitive? Oh, God, I can't
remember.
I
haven't seen The Fugitive in a long time. He's been in a lot of movies shot here.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good friend of the Wachowskis.
He was in, Wachowskis didn't shoot The Matrix here, but all the streets were named after Chicago.
Right, right.
Boy, when he did that heel turn in that movie, man. When Cypher turns out to be a sellout, it's like, oh man.
Yeah, I love the bit when he's eating the steak.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
I know it's not real.
I love that movie.
And I don't care.
Yeah, I love that movie. Yeah, ignorance is bliss. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Donald on WGN. Go ahead, Donald.
Hi, yeah, I've been down in memory lane listening to all this.
Yeah.
Because I've done movies as an extra or small part since 1982. So my favorite story happened actually at Fitzgerald's, where they actually turned it into a pool hall.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like signed as an extra for 3 days to pretend I know how to play pool and walk around. But they picked me for some odd reason. They picked me to actually go up and sit down next to Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, where mm-hmm. she's at the bar waiting for Paul Newman and Vince to come in supposedly, right. You know. And there I am, and then you know the Scorsese's over there, about 20 feet away, but he sends the assistant director over to talk to me, and he doesn't talk to the extras. So he said, "Well, just notice her, and then Paul's going to come in." And you know, and I was just like freaking out. But if I do anything wrong, this is going to be like terrible. But it went fine. It's fine. And there's actually that one frame where you can actually see me in profile with Paul Newman on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
And he's in the middle.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Unfortunately, right. I was like picked to go into the next scene where he's got with Helen Shaver.
Yeah.
And she made a comment to Paul Newman saying, "Well, in order to get seen over this extra, I guess I have to get up on the bar and tap dance." And so the assistant director heard it and removed me, and there went my film career in there. So.
There you go. All right, Donald, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
There you go. Color of Money, look for Donald. Color of Money also made the article, too. Martin Scorsese cast the city's west and south side neighborhoods as supporting characters in a saga about a cagey, aging pool hustler, Paul Newman, and his protege, Tom Cruise. I love The Color of Money. I think it's great. Yeah. It's a completely different movie than The Hustler. Because The Hustler's a really dark movie. Mm-hmm. People
it's super uncomfortable.
It is, and people, you know, I mean, there's so much drinking in that movie too. My God,
that's a sweaty movie.
Yeah. What is it? What's the thing that they play for? Eddie Felsen and Fats are playing for like hours and hours, well into the night. Newman's bombed, and then Jackie Gleason just goes over, washes his hands. You know, the scene where he washes his hands, he tidies up his hair, he comes back in, he looks great, you know, and Newman is just a mess. He hasn't slept, he's drunk. He just looks over at Jackie Gleason. Gleason's all ready to go. He's chalking up his cue stick, and Newman looks at him, and he just goes, "Fats, you look beautiful." that is a great movie. Piper Laurie. Yeah, that's a good George C. Scott. You owe me money. classic. All right, Color of Money, sequel to that movie, filmed right here in Chicago, and that's when Tom Cruise has that fantastic pompadour. Yeah,
somebody give the hair department
and they use Werewolf of London beautifully.
That they do.
Speaking of not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. All right, let's take a break. The news is up after this.
They call me the breeze. I keep blowing and blowing. They call me the breeze. I keep blowing and blowing.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. And we are going to talk a little bit about people sharing advice they thought was useless until they tried it. So we got some of that. It's May Day, too. And we're going to play a round of Know Your Onion, where you will be read some headlines by Tom here. And you have to guess whether it's a real headline, a real news headline, or a fake news headline from The Onion, the satirical newspaper. So you say real or onion. So Know Your Onion. All right. Who made that request for Wildcard Wednesday?
That was the 847 wanting to hear J.J. Cale performing They Call Me the Breeze.
There you go. All right. There you go. Wildcard Wednesday. You mean Wildcard Wednesday? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We've been talking about movies that were shot here in Chicago and some of the classics. And here is Elizabeth on WGN. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
I live in Riverside for a long time, and I remember them using one of the old Victorian houses in a movie called The Lake House with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves and the aforementioned Sandra Bullock.
Right. And they were wonderful, wonderful people. They talked to us. They were here for a long time. And you know what? It was only like 2 seconds in the movie.
Yeah, that happens a lot. You know, they'll spend a significant amount of time somewhere, and then it shows up in the movie for about a minute.
Yes.
Yeah, happens.
I enjoy
time.
You, Nick.
Okay, I understand it's your birthday?
Yes, I'm 86 years old today.
Oh, happy birthday, Elizabeth.
Thank you, you darling.
Have a great one.
Thank you. I hope so.
All right, see you later.
Good night.
86 years young, Elizabeth. That's lovely. Okay. There we go. Let's move into some of these other movies here. Home Alone. If you can't laugh at this family classic, this is another movie I hate.
You don't like Home Alone?
Oh, I hate Home Alone.
Why?
It's a comedy about child abuse.
Oh.
That's why I hate it.
Okay. All right.
And you know, I like the Three Stooges, and I like people getting smashed in the head with hammers and stuff, but not when it's played for pain. You know what I mean? Like that shot of Daniel Stern's foot slowly going down on that nail is horrifying in that movie. It wasn't Mythbusters, was it? Who showed what the real effects would have been, like on someone's face with a swinging paint can?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's a fantasy.
It's a terrible movie.
It's like Die Hard for kids.
Oh God, I hated it. I hated it. That movie made so much money. I mean, that thing was a monster hit. I remember in the second one, which I hated. I hated even more than the first one. I remember there was a mother and a young girl sitting in front of me at the theater, in the theater watching the movie. And the girl was being traumatized by the scene where Macaulay Culkin is dropping bricks off the building onto Daniel Stern's face, onto both of their faces. That she became traumatized. Like, she was, like, crying. Like, she couldn't, she had to cover her eyes. And the mother kept saying, no, it's funny. Just keep watching. It's funny. No, your kid is being traumatized by watching someone whip bricks at another person's face.
Well, it's like my dad showing me Braveheart for the first time. Got the scene where they go into the house and everybody's hanging. I'm like 8 years old, and he's like, it's your history, boy.
Yeah.
This is what happened.
Yeah. This is a good one, man. Ordinary People. Life in Lake Forest represented the American norm of happiness. It can't prevent a tragedy and the subsequent unraveling of a family. This gloom fest, directed by Robert Redford, is the only movie listed in this article that won Best Picture. And it beat Raging Bull. And Robert Redford beat Martin Scorsese. The thing is, I love Ordinary People.
It's a good movie.
I love the movie. And I think it's stellar. And the other thing that makes me crazy is that all the major performers in the movie got nominated, except for Donald Sutherland, who gives the best performance in the movie. And he didn't get nominated. Mary Tyler Moore got nominated. Timothy Hutton got nominated and won. And Judd Hirsch got nominated. Donald Sutherland, who gives the best performance in that movie, no nomination. So, I don't know. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to jump in here. His new job from 1915, made when Chicago was a film capital before the weather drove the biz to California, this silent short stars Charlie Chaplin as a handyman who was pressed into acting. Primal Fear. Yeah. Shot right here in Chicago. Someone has killed Chicago's Archbishop. Richard Gere defends Edward Norton, taking his first major movie role in this suspenseful and at times tricky drama. Primal Fear. Late, great John Mahoney in that one. Then they mentioned Thief. The director Michael Mann's debut film is an atmospheric heist, including scenes at the Green Mill in the first big screen appearance by Jim Belushi. He gets killed real good in it, too.
Yeah, he gets
shotgunned against a van.
Yeah, that's at the, they go to the dealership.
Right. Thief is a good movie, man.
I'm not going to lie, I think it's James Caan's greatest role.
Oh, no, it's up there. It's up there.
I like it better. And I love Sonny Corleone.
Yeah, no,
this is something else.
Well, no, Thief is like, that was a comeback for him, too. Because he, you know, he wasn't making a lot of movies at that time, and it was a comeback for him because I think it was like a couple of movies, the two or three movies that he made before Thief were not critically acclaimed and tanked at the box office. So when Thief came out and became, you know, the big hit that it was, and you know, featured like a really, really great performance from James Caan in a really good role. That was a big deal. That was a big comeback. But you know what he followed Thief up with? you ever hear of a movie, Kiss Me Goodbye?
I don't think I have.
Sally Field, Jeff Bridges, romantic comedy, and James Caan is in it, and he plays the ghost of Sally Field's husband. So nice. she's a widow, and he plays her. He plays the ghost of her husband, who was a tap dancing Bob Fosse type. He was like a choreographer, like a Broadway musical choreographer and director. And I gotta say that movie is actually kind of a guilty pleasure for me, because first of all, I think Jeff Bridges is very well. I mean, for me, Jeff Bridges is incapable of not being great. So I think he's very funny in it. There are some really funny moments that Sally Field has in it, but it's just really weird casting. To have James Caan play this sort of flamboyant Broadway tap dancing choreographer who wears like a straw hat and a cane, where carries a cane. it's a very, very weird casting decision. It's not that James Caan is bad in it. You know, it's just this, who the hell would cast James Caan as a flamboyant Broadway choreographer, tap dancer? I don't.
You know, you don't want to get typecast.
And that was his follow-up to Thief, like one of his biggest badass roles ever, yeah. And then he follows it up with that.
God, when he's in Thief, when he's talking about, he's giving her the speech about being on the inside.
Yeah.
About it being, oh, it's haunting.
Oh, it's fantastic. So, James Caan, man.
Jimmy C.
Yeah. You know, what was the, you know, he had another stretch where he wasn't making a lot of movies and they weren't very good. And then, why am I blanking on the movie where he's a cop and Mandy Patinkin is Alien Nation.
Yep. Yeah. Oh my God.
I can't believe it. I was, you know, he was a cop who was teamed up with an alien. What's the name of that movie?
Alien Nation.
I love that movie. I think it's great.
It's wild.
I watched the TV show too.
Yeah,
which was not very good, but the movie's really good, and that was a big comeback again for James Caan. He hadn't been seen in a while, and then like, I thought that movie was terrific. I really did.
Oh, they've basically. Did you see Bright?
Oh, on
it was terrible. But that was basically just Alien Nation.
That's all it was. And who played the alien in that?
In Alien Nation?
No, in Bright.
Oh, it was, oh God. He's in that
Edgerton
movie,
right? Joel Edgerton,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He was from that movie with The Gift.
Which I liked.
That was a crazy good, no,
I
that
liked
was
that
a,
movie.
That was a hit. That
he
was
directed
a
that,
hit.
Too. Yeah. He's also in It Comes at Night, which is one of the most unnecessarily maligned movies of the past, you know, bunch of years.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. But anyway, all right, we got to take a break here. We got the weather, and then we're going to wrap up this topic of movies shot in Chicago. We got a few more here to jump in here. And if you want to get in here, it's 312-981-7200.
Lucy and Ramona cruising through the jungles of L.A. Hoping to promote a dream somewhere along the way. Rolling through the streets, looking for a disco.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Who requested that, Tom?
That was Steve. Wanted to hear a little Michael Neesmith. The song is Cruisin'.
Yeah. All right. Welcome back, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio here. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. And coming up at 5 is Steve Grzanich with the opening bell. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Right here on WGN. We're talking about movies that were filmed right here in Chicago. And let's see. Here is Roger on WGN. Hi, Roger.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
All right.
I was listening to the segment, which I really enjoyed, and a movie I thought of was called A Family Thing, And it stars two of my favorite actors, Robert Duvall and James Earl Jones.
Right.
And it was made in the 90s. And it was a drama comedy where Robert Duvall's character lives in the South and finds a letter from his mom, as I recall, that she wasn't his real mother. And
right.
that his real mom lives in Chicago. And so he comes up and not only finds out, he finds out that his mother is Black. And he's been raised in the South, and he's kind of racist. And so this comes as a huge shock to him, and then he meets his brother, James Earl Jones. And then, you know, through the whole movie, they slowly come to, I don't even know by the end if they really like each other a lot, but they come to respect each other.
Right.
And they're two of my favorite actors, and I thought for a movie that could have been played, that kind of thing could have been played real cheesy. They're really subtle about it because they're just such great actors. And the mom, I'm trying to remember, I think her name is Irma Hall.
Yes, or, she's from Chicago. She's a Chicago
actress.
Yeah,
and she's from Chicago. She's awesome in that movie. I loved her in that movie.
Yeah, yeah. If I'm not mistaken, Billy Bob Thornton wrote that, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow.
If I'm not mistaken. Tom, could you look that up, Tom? The Billy Bob Thornton, see if he looked, if look up a family thing on IMDb. I think Billy Bob Thornton wrote the screenplay for that. I'm almost
well, but I give him credit. It's really well done.
Irma P. Hall is a legendary actress in Chicago, stage actress. She's worked with all the major theater companies here in town, and she's a legend.
Yeah, you nailed it. Billy Bob Thornton, one of the writers.
Yeah, Billy Bob Thornton.
Tom Epperson.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember really enjoying that movie. It's a good film. Roger, thanks for the call.
Thanks so much.
Okay,
have a great day.
Take care. Here's Anthony on WGN. And hi, Anthony.
Yeah, hey, Nick. I don't know if they got this on his list. This came out like 80, 81. This is a Sean Penn movie, Bad Boys.
Yeah,
back in 80, 81.
82 it came out. It was shot here in Chicago, and it's the good movie called Bad Boys, not the crappy movie called Bad Boys.
Everybody can confuse. And also I want to plug Riddick. That came out in the 90s. They did it in a museum.
Okay. Yeah, Relic. Yeah, with the
Relic.
That was shot here too. Peter Himes directed that one too. All right, mm-hmm. Anthony, thanks.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, Relic is a terrible movie. It's a terrible movie. Let's see. Mentioned here, Road to Perdition, Stir of Echoes, which we have talked about. I'm Trying to Break Your Heart. The Wilco movie mm-hmm. is mentioned here. Public Enemies. Another Michael Mann movie. Yeah, not a great one.
Not my favorite.
Not a great one. And my friend Mike View got he spent 4 months on that movie, and he got most of his stuff was cut.
He got axed.
Yeah, but he did get thrown out of a moving car by Johnny Depp after he screws up the prison. Because he ends up there's a prison break at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and my friend Mike kind of screws it up, so Johnny Depp whips him out of the car. But there was a whole subplot involving him that they shot, and
he just didn't make it.
He got cut out. The Company. Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about this movie. Nev Campbell. Yeah. Brilliant, unexpected direction by Robert Altman makes this ensemble movie about the Joffrey Ballet feel like a documentary. I totally forgot about that movie. The Fugitive, which we mentioned. The Blues Brothers. I'm surprised nobody mentioned this one earlier.
Yeah.
That was a big deal when they were filming that movie. That was a real big deal when they were in town filming it. And Mayor Byrne let them do whatever the hell they wanted. As you can tell by just looking at the movie, by watching some of the crazy stuff that's in that movie. But she gave them carte blanche. She just like, go out, do whatever you want. And I've had John Landis on the show three times. And he, first of all, he tells unbelievable stories, John Landis.
Oh yeah,
and he told some really crazy stories about the kind of shape that Belushi was in when they were making the Blues Brothers, and you know, and he was just the king of the universe at that time because they shot it in the summer of 1979, and he was the biggest thing in the world at that time, and here he is back home in Chicago. You know, shooting a multi-million-dollar movie, and he just went. I mean, he did what you would think John Belushi would do when he had the number one, you know, TV show and number one album, number one movie in the country. Barbershop. which I love the first Barbershop.
Yeah, it's really good.
I love the first one. I think I like the second one too. But yeah, I thought the first one was really good. Shot on the South Side. We mentioned Color of Money, Dark Knight, of course. Risky Business gets mentioned. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Medium Cool. Great movie. Shot in 1968, and it's a pseudo documentary, kind of. Haskell Wexler, the cinematographer, directed it. Robert Forrester's in it. And it also has incredible footage of the Democratic Convention riots, of which it was part of. So we mentioned Call Northside 777 with Jimmy Stewart. Mickey 1, which is a French New Wave meets Nelson Algren. When Warren Beatty and director Arthur Penn pre-Bonnie and Clyde team up for a paranoid man on the run tail. Mickey 1, shot here. Hoop Dreams, one of the greatest documentaries ever made. Mm-hmm. And Steve James, one of the greatest documentarians ever made. Mm-hmm. Or ever, of all time. Ever made, yeah. And then finally they pick High Fidelity as number one on their list. British writer Nick Hornby's novel was rehomed here, where the audiophile John Cusack goes on a quest to understand women. Does the music make this man or keep him from growing up? It's a rich, textured movie that, like your favorite LP, only gets better with time. They need to calm down here. It defines Chicago as a city of doers, dreamers, and slackers, a real place for real lives. Again, Green Mill's in that, too. Obviously, there's a lot of Chicago locations in that, but the Green Mill's in that. You know what nobody mentioned? You ever see the movie Prelude to a Kiss?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Alec Baldwin, Meg Ryan.
Uh-huh.
I love that movie. And lots of great Chicago locations in that one. What's really funny is that some of the locations that they used were right around the... Because Prelude to a Kiss was when they were here. That was shot in the summer of... I want to say 91, because I think it came out in 92.
Yeah, it came out July 10th, 92.
Right. So it was shot here summer 91. And I remember a couple of locations were... And right around the corner from where they were shooting was where Prelude to a Kiss was playing in a theater. Like it was the play on stage. And I remember at one point, John Stamos was in the stage version here in Chicago. Prelude to a Kiss, which is a movie I really like a lot. Okay, we got a break. We got the news coming up after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday. Wildcard Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Who requested the Elvis Costello?
I was Cindy.
Cindy. There you go. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Hey, coming up, we are going to talk about people who are sharing advice that they thought was useless until they tried it. So we'll get a little bit of that in there. But right now, we are going to play a little game here that Tom came up with. It's called Know Your Onion, and the idea is that Tom will be reading some headlines, and our contestant has to figure out whether or not they are real news headlines or fake comedy news headlines from The Onion, the satirical newspaper. And you have to answer real or onion. We have an intro now for this?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Here we go.
It's time to Know Your Onion.
It wouldn't be a game show without an intro.
You got to have an intro. I like the audience there. A nice big crowd here. I didn't know
we had a huge
studio audience here for Know Your Onion. And the person who is going to play the game... with us is Helen, who's in Chicago on WGN. Hi, Helen.
Hi, how are you, Nick?
All right. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, now you know the onion, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so the idea is Tom is going to read you a headline, and you have to decide whether or not it's real or onion. So your answer is real or onion, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, Tom, go ahead.
All right, Helen, your first headline. Sanders supporters viciously attack Bernie Sanders after he criticizes mistakes of the 2016 Sanders campaign. Is that real or onion?
I'm going to say that's real.
That is incorrect. It's actually an Onion headline.
That was an Onion headline?
Yeah.
Wow. It seemed real to me, too, Helen. Okay.
Okay.
Next.
All right, Helen, your next headline. Judge sentences Lori Loughlin to 100 hours of community theater. Is that real or Onion?
I'm going to say that's real also.
Unfortunately, Helen, that is also an Onion headline.
That's Onion. Yeah, that's an Onion headline. Community theater.
That's all right.
Okay, next.
Okay, Helen, this you need this one to stay alive. The USDA admits weight loss is not possible for people who don't like salmon. Is that real or Onion?
I'm going to say it's Onion.
There you go. That is correct. It is an Onion headline.
Onion headline. Good job, Helen. Okay.
All right. Next one here. Mysterious whale possibly linked to Russian military. Is that real or Onion?
I'm going to say that's Onion.
Believe it or not, that is real.
That's a real
Onion.
There was a whale that was possibly connected to the Russian military.
Wow. All right. Okay. One more or two more?
So we got one more.
One more. Here we go. All right, Helen.
Okay. A woman this week was rushed to the hospital for crying too much during Avengers Endgame. Is that real or the Onion?
Let's say that's real.
That is real.
Real. There you go. Nice job.
Great.
All right.
All right, Helen, unfortunately you didn't get 3 out of 5, but we do have a prize for you. We are going to send you an indoor desktop weather center.
Oh, thank you very much. Sure. I was looking forward to something, a gift like that. I really will use it, and I know it's from the Weathermakers. I'm happy to talk to Nick.
Yeah. All right, hang on, okay, Helen?
Yes, I will.
All right, Helen's going to hang on. And she's got herself a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. You can call 855-955-HVAC, 855-955-HVAC. All right, are we doing another round?
I'm up for it.
Okay, we'll do another round. Let's get somebody else in here. 312-981-7200, if you want to play real, if you want to play Know Your Onion. Get in here right now. You got a chance to win. You got a chance to win a very cool prize. If you get 3 out of 5, you get the majority of the headlines. Again, the idea is you'll hear a headline that Tom will read from you, and you have to decide whether it's real or Onion. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 312-981-7200 for the contest here. Real or Onion? Know Your Onion. And again, we want to thank the people over at American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men, for providing our prize to Helen there. She's got herself a desktop indoor weather station. So if you want to join us, call in right now at 312-981-7200. And if you get through here, you will be on the air with us, and you'll have to guess what whether a headline is real or Onion. And as we're waiting to get, we got some phone calls here, but Tom's on the line right now with someone, so we got to wait till Tom gets off the line so that we can do this, real or Onion. Meanwhile, I do want to mention that tomorrow on the show, our good friend Rich Coase is going to be here, the one and only Sven Gulli. He's going to be with us, and we are going to talk about not only this year marks his 40th anniversary as Sven Gulli, which is remarkable and amazing, but he is also doing a special month worth of movies. Every Saturday in May is going to be a different Frankenstein movie. And the classic ones, like the legendary Frankenstein movies. So, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. So the great Rich Coase is going to be here, and we're always excited when Rich comes on. And 40th anniversary celebration of him playing Sven Gulli. So we'll talk about that and much more. So that's on the show tomorrow. All right, do we have another one lined up?
Yes, we do.
All right, why don't you play the intro one more time?
I worked real hard.
It's time to Know Your Onion.
The audience is roaring.
Very,
today.
Very excited. All right, we have a contestant lined up. It's Doug and Bartlett on WGN. Hi, Doug.
Good morning.
Morning. Are you familiar with the Onion?
I sure am.
Okay, so you just have to guess as to whether the headline that Tom reads to you is either real or from The Onion. So you just say real or onion. You got it?
Yep, got it.
Okay.
All right, Doug, here's your first headline. Donkeys hate the British weather and would rather stay inside, study finds. What do you think?
I'm going to say that's real.
That is real. Very good, Doug.
Wow.
All right, that's one. That's one for you, Doug.
I'm assuming that the donkeys would not like our current weather.
No.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Good job so far, Doug. Go ahead, Tom.
Next one. New archaeological find suggests Mary Magdalene was actually a size 12. Is that real or The Onion?
Oh, yeah.
You're saying that's The Onion?
I'm going to say Onion.
Very good, Doug. Yeah. He's on a roll. That is The Onion.
That's funny, though.
That is excellent.
Yeah. Okay, good job, Doug. Okay.
All right. The Brady Bunch episode fuels campaigns against vaccines and Marsha's miffed. Is that real or The Onion?
Oh, boy. Onion.
Oh, you got that one incorrect. That is a real headline from NPR.
Oh, my God.
I know.
All right. Wow. All right. Well, you're doing what you got. You got to get one more right in order to
one more, to
one
get
more
the big
right because you got
to
get the majority. As long as you get
you
the majority,
get
you're
at
fine.
Least three.
Okay.
All right. Here's the next one. If you cross me, I will end you. Roger Goodell whispers into the ear of every draft pick. Is that right? What do you think?
I'm going to say onion.
Very good, Doug. Yeah. You got that one. There it is.
All right. Well, Doug, that's great, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, he's got it.
You got it.
And well, thank you.
You got yourself Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40 Chicagoland locations, or you can order online at loumalnatis.com. I have one about 800 feet from my front door, so it's very convenient. Doug, you got it. Hang on, okay, buddy?
Sure will. Thanks.
All right, there you go. There's Doug. That is yet another edition of Know Your Onion. And we'll do it again next Wednesday. That's one of our regular features that we're going to be doing on Wednesday now. So you can play along with us again on Wednesday. All right, we're going to take a break here. We got the weather. And then we're going to talk about sharing advice that you thought was useless. And we'll talk a little bit about that. 312-981-7200 for talk or text. 312-981-7200.
If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah! Who requested the Jim Croce?
That was Elaine.
Elaine, okay.
It's time in a bottle.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is from BuzzFeed. The headline reads, people are sharing advice they thought was useless until they tried it. And OMG. So it says, look, we've all received some unsolicited advice that we thought was completely useless at the time, but it turned out to be life-changing later. This week, when Reddit user 5000 Castillo asked what felt like a useless piece of advice until you actually tried it, the responses were equal parts wonderful and helpful. Here are some of the most useful tips that seemed useless at first. If you want to jump in here, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you've gotten advice from people that you used, what's the best advice that you've ever gotten? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Here we go. The first one is, my dad always told me, ask anyway. The worst they can say is no when I needed something. Turns out that advice has helped me with school, raises, plans, with new friends, and with people in general. I think that's good advice. The worst they can say is no. There you go. Someone else says, compliment people behind their backs. This sounds stupid, but it works wonders. Some nice advice right there. Keep your shoulders back. It was a suggestion I saw for preventing panic and anxiety. I don't know what it is, but when your shoulders are in that position, it gives you some strange feeling of control, and it works for me, so it could work for you, too. Your shoulders back. I slump. I should probably try and keep my shoulders back a little bit more. How about this one? There's what you need, there's what you want, and there's what you can't afford. My dad says this all the time, and while I never thought of it as useless, I never used it. Now that I have started following this, managing my money is far, far easier. Here's one right here. Your gums bleed when you floss because you don't floss enough. It sounds like something dentists just say, but it turns out if you floss enough, your gums won't be inflamed so they don't bleed. Yeah, that's true. That's true. My grandfather told me this, and I never understood it until I had my own place. Always buy cheap tools at first, and if you wear them out, then you use them enough to justify getting a nicer set. That's a good one. I like that one. Cheap tools, and if you wear them out, then it justifies getting a nicer set. Wow. How about this one? Put cold water on freshly shaved skin, and it will make it so you don't get ingrown hairs. This seems incredibly simple, but it's still some of the best advice I've ever received, someone said. So get that cold water on there. Won't get any ingrown hairs. How about this? As someone with a phobia of needles my entire life, I finally had a nurse tell me to ask for a spare alcohol pad and sniff it right as I'm about to be jabbed. She said the harsh smell is enough of a distraction to keep your mind off the needle. It worked, and I've been doing it ever since.
That's an interesting one, because I hate needles.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, but I have this thing where apparently there's a pressure point between your thumb and your index finger,
yeah.
And I just press it, and it clears the mind.
No, that's a thing.
Yeah?
That's a real thing.
I got taught that by a dentist, because I also hate the dentist.
That's a real thing. That's definitely a real thing. Someone once told me, clean your house before leaving for more than 5 days. Nothing is better than coming back to a clean house. Yeah, I guess that's good advice. I'm not going to do that, but it's good advice. On my wedding day, my grandmother said to me, never do anything around the house that you don't plan on doing for life. At the time, I thought it was a terrible advice, but when I was mowing the lawn at 7.5 months pregnant, I got what she meant. Why wasn't your husband mowing the lawn if you were 7.5 months pregnant?
Who knows?
The husband should have been mowing the lawn.
Or at least get a riding mower.
Yeah.
Zoom.
In regards to saving money, I was always told, pay your bills, pay yourself, i.e. put money in the savings and then spend. That's that's good advice that our good friend Herb Weisbaum has actually said on the show. Speaking of which, he's going to be on Friday morning.
Yes, sir.
For his monthly consumer visit.
He's taught me so much just listening to him.
Oh, he's great.
Like, because I'm terrible with finances. I'm a total, I see something shiny. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah. I used to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked with Herb about this on the air before. I got myself into some serious debt at one point. Like, you know, lots of phone calls from collectors and all that kind of stuff. It was bad. I mean, it was bad. And I dug my way out of it. And for people out there who are having, you know, some bad financial situation, let me just say, if I can get out of it, you can get out of it. Because I was like deep into debt. And I will say this, man, when you get out of debt, nothing feels better. I mean, seriously, it's like the weight of the world is lifted off of your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a very stressful. It was a very stressful time. It was really, really bad. And once all my debt was paid off, and I was and I could put some more money, you know, back into the bank, and you know, get a new credit line. It felt great.
Yeah,
because it's horrible when you have that kind of debt and pressure. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. I mean, the anxiety that you have, the stress level that's so high. I was drinking even more than I normally would be, and I was a big drinker in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, was real smart of me because that costs money.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about it is that usually it's, you know, in order to cope with the fact that you have debt, you end up doing things that get you into more debt.
Well, yeah, and that's what's unbelievable is speaking of spending money on booze, I can't even explain to you how much money I've saved by not going out and boozing it up for the past 4 years. I mean, it's ridiculous because I would, and I'm not kidding. I drank almost every night. I would go out especially when I was only working weekends here. I would drop easily 50, 60 bucks a night, easy, maybe even more than that a night. But any advice you can get, you know, pay your bills, pay yourself, and then spend. I think that's great advice. And like I said before, you know, you can get out of debt. You can. It can happen for you. How about this? You're not hungry, you're thirsty. I would eat a big meal and wonder why I still felt hungry afterwards, but it was because I wasn't drinking a glass of water with my meals. Now I notice I'm hungry after eating a normal portion. I'll have a glass of water, wait 5 minutes before I eat more. Yeah, no, water fills you up.
Mm-hmm.
I drink a lot of water.
Yeah, your body wants it.
I drink a lot of water. And that's, I mean, I don't drink pop. I haven't had pop in, I mean, every once in a while I'll have a ginger ale, maybe a 7-Up.
Sure.
Because I don't do caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
So, the last time I had, you know what? I had a Sprite when I saw her smell. That's the last time I had any kind of
naughty boy.
I had a Sprite while I was watching her smell at the music box. That's the last time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes I'll have a ginger ale. But other than that, it's always water, and then I drink milk with every meal.
Well, as you can tell, Nick, from the number of times I get up during a show, I'm a coffee freak. So.
Yeah, you do drink a lot of coffee. Well, I used to. When I did caffeine, I drank a lot of coffee. I drank a lot of Coke and Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've mentioned before, you know, giving up, I gave up, I don't know if you know this or not, I gave up caffeine and nicotine on the same day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I was not pleasant to be around.
No, that's got to be a rough few
days. It was unbelievable. But I gave up caffeine and nicotine same day.
Good for you, man.
And it's been 16 years? 16 years. So, all right, we got a break for the news, which is coming up right after this.
It's not safe. I just want someone to say to me, oh, 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 I'll always be there when you wake. Yeah, you know I like to.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 floors above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 every weekday morning. Wednesday morning, Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah! Continues. That's the video with the B-girl, right?
I think so. I have not heard that song. It got played every single day on our local radio station throughout like most of the 2000s.
Well, you were a kid when it was out.
Yep.
You were just a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's like mid-90s, right? 95, 96, something like that, I would guess. But that's with the B-girl. That's Blind Melon, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, No Rain.
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's called No Rain, right.
That's coming to us from Chris.
All right, Chris. And unfortunately, we're going to have rain until, like, Thursday night. It's like Blade Runner out there, man.
Well, now I can get out my leather jacket and start, you know, eating at street ramen vendors, you know.
I mean, seriously, it's like it's been like Blade Runner weather. That's what I usually call it when we get a ton of rain and it, you know, just keeps raining. Blade mm-hmm. Runner. So, man,
finally have a use for all this neon.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got some advice that people have posted up that they thought was useless and then it turned out to be a really good thing. And so we're sharing some of this advice. And if you've got advice, that you heard from someone that kind of changed the way you look at things or do things and helped you out. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. This is Ron on WGN. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Hey, so just before the break, you were talking about water.
Yeah.
And one of the best pieces of advice I got for weight loss is tied to water. And it just, it's kind of two parts. But the first part is, you know, that we're chronically dehydrated, we're chronically overweight. Most of the time, we've kind of interpreted the signal our body sends for being thirsty. We've trained ourselves to think it means we need a snack.
Ah.
So if you take, you know, drink a glass of water, wait 5 to 10 minutes, and if you're still hungry, go ahead and have a snack because you're probably hungry. But most of the time, you just want to drink the water.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. People need to know that.
Yeah, and the other part was because we're so dehydrated, they, you know, you're supposed to drink like what is it, eight ounce glasses of water? What everybody says.
Yeah.
But you know, everybody weighs different. Everybody has different water content levels in their body, and supposedly, and actually, it works for me. I feel way better. But if you take your body weight, you know, like if you weigh 200 pounds, you divide that by two, so you get 100. You know, you get 100 out of that. If you drink 100 ounces of water a day, which seems like a lot, but when I started doing that, I've never felt better.
Mm. Yeah.
So, all right. Well,
okay,
have a good
thanks,
day.
Ron. Take care. Yeah.
I just follow the policy. If I'm thirsty, drink water.
I have water. Well, you see how many times I go out of the studio to refill my water during the show here. I drink a lot of water during the show while I'm here at work. I drink a lot of water at home too. Always have water on the coffee table if I'm watching TV. There's always water next to me on the nightstand.
The way I do, I like to, I've got this giant Cubs cup, like one of those massive, like 64 ounces. And I fill that up at least at the beginning of the day. I was like, well, I got to at least finish this giant Cubs cup of water.
Yeah.
And I feel like generally not that thirsty throughout the rest of the day.
Yeah. And I've been made fun of by some of the people that I've worked with on the show in the past, namely Dan Shigaru and Esmeralda Leon, who mock me because I drink milk with every meal. Every single meal.
Really?
Yeah.
That used to be a habit of mine, but then I just switched to water.
And I go to, like, I'm talking, if it's pizza, I'll drink milk. It doesn't matter. Unless I'm out to dinner. If I'm out in a restaurant, it's usually like a ginger ale or you know, I always have a glass of water when I go out to dinner. There's always a glass of water. But usually, like, if I'm in a restaurant, it's ginger ale. I don't know. But at home, I drink a ton of milk. I mean, I go through a gallon of milk. I live alone. I go through a gallon of milk in 5 days. So, and, yeah. So, let's see. Someone once, these are more pieces of advice. Someone once told me not to take my cell phone into bed with me, to charge it away from my bed. And while I found I sleep much easier without the distraction and the blue light shining straight into my eyes right before bed now. That's been advice that people give a lot. Yeah, that's advice that you give a lot because it's so easy to just reach over. Like if you're sleeping, and it's so easy to reach over to the nightstand and pick up the phone and then look at it. And then you're looking at the bright screen, and that's going to screw up your sleep pattern right there. And then you're sucked into whatever maybe you're doing. You're scrolling through your social media, and that's going to keep you awake. Yeah. So don't take your cell phone into the bed with you. Charge it away from you. But I don't follow that advice. The phone is on the nightstand next to me, and it's also the alarm I use to wake up.
That's the main problem, is that most people use it as their alarm. So, yeah.
I mean, I got a clock radio on my nightstand,
mm-hmm.
And I use that. The phone is always there, and I end up checking it. You know what I mean? I'll admit it. I'll wake up because I don't sleep very well anyway. I never sleep more than...
And like kind of starts and fits, you know?
Yeah, I don't sleep more than 3 hours straight. I don't remember the last time in my life I slept more than 3 hours straight without waking up. And then it takes me forever to get back to sleep. It takes me, when I go to bed, it takes me at least 90 minutes to fall asleep. 90 minutes.
Wow.
These people who can just shut their eyes and fall asleep anywhere, or go to bed and they're asleep 2 minutes after they close their eyes. I envy that.
I usually sleep in about four to 5 hour shifts, but I can fall asleep literally anywhere.
I can't. Not even. No. Speaking of which, stick to the same sleep schedule on your days off that you follow on days when you have to be somewhere.
Yeah, I don't
know
about that.
See, that's too hard. It's for us, yeah. It is. On this shift, it's impossible. And it's weird. I will tell you this. Sunday is the weirdest time for me to try and get to sleep. Because, you know, I still stay up pretty late on Friday. I still stay up pretty late on Saturday. But, like, on Saturdays, I do stuff during the day. You know, normally when I'm asleep, at times when I'm asleep, I'm awake out going to a movie or doing, you know, going out to eat or something on a Saturday. Normally when I'm asleep. So it's hard to keep the same sleep pattern going when we're off. It's just tough.
Yeah, man. Like, usually Saturday mornings, I'll be just, my girlfriend will be way asleep, and it'll be 3-4 in the morning, and I'm just doing whatever.
I spent my whole life sleeping until noon on weekends, thinking I was storing sleep with some imaginary sleep bank. I recently started waking up early on weekends, and now I have no trouble waking up when my alarm goes off during the week. We got some texts here if you want to jump in with some advice. 312-981-7200. 630 area code. This is I've heard this one many times. I can't tell you how many sets I've built, how many theater sets I've built. And this is the motto of our set designer and our crew, which is measure twice, cut once. That is great. That's really, it seems simple, but that's fantastic advice.
And you can apply it to so many different things.
So many different things, yeah. But I heard it a million times when we you know, because I've built a lot, I've been a part of set buildings a lot over the years. 312 says, be aware of people who mistake kindness for weakness. Yeah, it's hard to sometimes spot that though. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be kind. 815 area code says, whenever you get up, morning or night, to start your day, make your bed. Start you off with a sense of accomplishments, and it sets up for you to get more tasks done.
Yeah.
We've had a woman on who does counseling, who has written books, who maintains that you should absolutely make your bed every time you get up. My bed is not made.
That was a habit because my dad was a neat freak. Mm-hmm. He was a total neat freak. And if we didn't have our beds made, yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
We had to make our beds, literally shine our shoes every morning.
Wow.
Yeah. Even like gym shoes. Like, we had to keep them very clean.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because he grew up, I mean, we're talking about a guy who grew up in, 50s Scotland.
Yeah.
Totally poor, son of a railroad worker. And that was what you had. You know, that was how you showed your sense of dignity.
Yeah.
Was to keep your shoes very clean.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty cool thing to pass down. Now, do you still do that?
You know, I could probably be a little bit better with my gym shoes, but all my dress shoes are tip top.
Yeah.
I've had some of those shoes for like 5-6 years. They don't look a day old.
Wow. Wish I could say the same thing.
Yeah.
219 area code says, a coworker once told me, don't ever tell your son what you used to do, because when he gets older, he'll hold it against you if he does it. And so far, my 16-year-old son is doing great.
I don't know. I see the logic in that. But yeah. When I found out that my dad was a bank teller when he was 20, it made me feel a little bit better. Because I was cleaning popcorn at a movie theater and didn't really feel great about it at times. But then I remembered that at that time in his life, he was just a bank teller.
Yeah.
And then he went on to do a lot bigger stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. There's a time when I don't even remember when my dad didn't have two jobs. My mom worked for a bunch of years too. I was a latchkey kid for a while, but we were total blue collar, family. Didn't grow up with a lot of money at all, at all. And because of that, I did learn the value of money. Went through that period where I was like, I don't care. I just want to get this, and I'm going to charge everything and then not pay my bills. That's what happened, but. Yeah, you learn the value of money when you grow up without it.
Yeah, and even and I'm not going to pretend like I didn't come from means, but it was two parents that were one was an immigrant, and the other one was a daughter of immigrants, and they had nothing. They had very little, and they taught us like value hard work.
Yeah,
you know, do the things that you have to do. I had a steady job since I was 12.
My dad still works from home. He's been in the vending business for over 50 something years.
Really?
Yeah. When I was a kid, my dad would bring home sacks of gumballs because he made vending machines and stuff.
Wow.
So he's been in the vending business for a long time, in the building of machines and the manufacturing of them, in making the plastic capsules that have the cap on them. My dad,
right.
They were, you know, he would run those big machines that ran the plastic through to get pumped out. And he built the machines. It was Victor Vending was the name of the place he worked. And then he got into the sales side of vending. And my dad still does vending sales from home.
Really?
Yeah. He'll do it like 3-4 times a week. And then he works at Jewel. My dad's 70. He's going to be 78 in September.
78 years. Well, there you go.
And he's still basically, technically, he's still working two jobs because he works at Jewel and he loves working at Jewel. That's like one of his favorite things.
That's great.
Yeah.
And he still has time for jokes.
Absolutely. Well, I think the jokes got him through those times when he was working two jobs that he didn't like. So, but yeah, no, I mean, I come from a family of blue collar workers. A long line of that. Yeah, there were no means in my family.
No,
in my family. Yeah. So, I don't know. All right. Right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is Wednesday morning, Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah! And it's wrapping up. Who requested the Smashing Pumpkins?
That was Jim in Lake Forest.
Jim in Lake Forest.
And we did get a point of clarification for that last piece of advice about don't tell your kids what you used to do. That was Colleen. She meant, like, in terms of smoking or drinking underage and things like that. That's what she meant.
Right. Okay. All right. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. So, yeah. All right. Got more advice here. I had a problem looking at people's shoulders while they were speaking instead of their eyes. I told a coworker about it who told me, just look at their ears. Nobody can tell the difference. It's life-changing. Seriously, no one can tell the difference.
Staring at people's ears.
Don't like making eye contact with people. Okay. You know, there was an actor who I worked with a few times. I actually acted with on stage a few times. Who never made eye contact with the other actors on stage. Like he would look off. He would look off to a different spot.
How did you? Did you try? It was to
difficult.
Correct
it? It was difficult. I mean, I did two shows with this guy. I did three shows with him. Two of which I had scenes with him. And one of which he was not in any scenes with me. And I directed him in a couple of shows. But you know, it's difficult to connect, obviously, with someone on stage if they're not looking at you. It's important. I mean, one of the most important things to do while you're acting, especially if you're improvising, is listening. That's what it's all about, is listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was distracted by it at first. Then I got used to it because it was something that made him, he's a terrific actor, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's a terrific actor. But it was very off-putting when I first got on stage with him, when we were rehearsing, when we were rehearsing, he would not make eye contact with me. And we had like several scenes together. And I was like, so, oh, by the way, the DVD that you have.
Yeah.
That's one of the shows that I did with him.
All right. Cause I'm preparing to watch it today.
He's in it.
All right.
And that's one of the shows where I had to you're not making eye contact with me.
I'll try to figure out which one it is.
I don't know if you'll be able to figure
probably
it out.
Probably
not. I don't know. Because the show that you have at home that you're going to watch, all the performances are good in it. So it won't be, you know, it won't be.
Yeah.
It won't be
apparent.
It won't be apparent, yeah. But that guy is the one who He just didn't make eye contact, which I just thought was weird.
Yeah,
but if that's what he had to do to get the performances, to get the performances, he's a terrific actor, and if that's what he's got to do, that's what he's got to do. And I wasn't going to impede on his process, you know what I mean? So, just because I would rather have eye contact with someone when I'm on stage with him, especially now, he was trained differently. I was trained through improv. I did improvisation. Right. I went to Second City and all that stuff. He didn't. He was like, you know, he did his Meisner's and all that stuff. He was like he was trained.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was a technique that someone said, hey, if you're having difficulty, just stare off into a different spot. And that's what he did.
I can imagine. Laurence Olivier telling him,
yeah,
don't ever look at their eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Go to therapy. I always considered myself emotionally stable, so I thought it was a pointless idea. I went once with my ex-girlfriend in order to try to work out some problems in our relationship, but I learned so much more about myself and got some amazing life advice. Go to therapy.
It's helpful.
I've been there.
It works.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been there. I went through a really horrendous breakup, and I've gone through a lot of breakups. But I've gone through a lot of breakups and a lot of bad breakups. But there was one in particular that was just all consuming. Like the depression was, you know. So I went to therapy during that section of time. It was helpful. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm not one of these people who's like, I'm not going to go to therapy. Blah blah blah. Anything that helps you should pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't suffer future pain, they say. In other words, worrying about all the stuff that could happen stops you from doing things, or worse, turns potential pain into actual mental pain. I do that all the time. That's one of the reasons why I can't fall asleep.
You're a little bit of a nervous Nelly?
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, I can't. There are times when I just... That's why it takes me 90 minutes to fall asleep.
Because you're thinking about future
scenarios.
Because
I'm thinking about stuff. Like, what's going to happen? What do I got to do? You know what I mean? This could happen. That could happen.
Mm-hmm.
When I should just, you know, shut my brain down and go to sleep, but I try.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work. Put on your own oxygen mask first. Like they tell you on an airplane, you can't always help someone effectively if you're not first okay yourself. I was always self-sacrificing to the point of being hospitalized once for exhaustion. A great therapist told me that I'm good at helping, but I have to at least be at a baseline before I'm effective. That makes sense.
Yeah. There's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, there is. And then finally, when you can't choose between two things, flip a coin and choose the one you're hoping for. Half the time, I don't even have to flip a coin now. I'm way more decisive. Okay. Flip a coin. So there's some advice that was doled out on the intranets for you to think about.
Super reliable place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can always rely on. There's another piece of advice. Always believe what you read on the internet.
Wikipedia, great for academic papers.
Fantastic. All right. We have to break here. The news is coming up. Join us tomorrow. The great Rich Coase, Sven Gulli, will be with us. And we got much more coming up. The news is up right after this.